United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so Hey! We're in business. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. Hey, that's David Bowie. I'm afraid of Americans with the Nine Inch Nails. You guys know that's my theme song. Y'all just don't understand. I got that. Hi, Six.
Hey, Tracy. It's
how
good to see you.
Good
to see
you. I miss being here. And I won't be here next Monday either. No, I won't be here next month. I'll be late Monday. I won't be here Tuesday, and I won't be here Friday.
Late Monday. I didn't give you permission to be late.
I got to be late.
All right.
Got to be late. Got things to do, people to see, places to go.
You're just getting too important for the radio show, that's all.
That's not true. I'm never too important for the radio show. I'm never too important for this. I want to talk about the shutdown. I got to talk about it because I was on the phone yesterday. Jeff let me talk sometime. Diva was out of control. Wow.
I didn't get to hear all of it. I listened to some of it.
And then Covina, man, he was psycho. I can't believe the words coming out of his mouth.
I tried to call in. Is the resident prepper around here?
Oh, that was you?
Well, no, I am the resident prepper of this crew, ain't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if Covina, man, if you're listening, we don't want to collapse anything. We're just getting prepared when these morons in D.C. collapse everything.
I am. I'm gonna not.
Because you know, Tracy, I really like having my automatic electricity rather than having to run a generator, and I really like being able to go to the grocery store and get stuff rather than eat out of my basement.
I want people to quit watching the news. I have heard some of the most ludicrous things about this shutdown. And some of the most crazy things about why people are doing what they do.
Let me in, because you talk to more people than I do.
Oh?
I live a much more cloistered life than you do.
No, because I hide. I was just watching the television.
Oh.
And television means let me tell you my vision. So what they are doing is, I watched MSNBC, and I don't know where they get their information from, but I watched them and I'm sorry, y'all need to explain some things to me because I'm a little slow. Y'all know I'm really, really, really slow. I don't know much. I just know it's 11 minutes after the hour 12 o'clock, and the only reason why I know that is because the clock is in front of me. I know today is October the 2nd. Because the calendar is in front of me also. But if you take my calendar and my watch away, y'all know I'm really, really limited on thought process. But I want to know, the government shutdown, it affects people, but they're going to try to make sure that their pay is retroactive. Okay. People get laid off in America every day from small businesses.
Been there, done that.
I mean, people get devastated. And I'm not knocking people to have government jobs. I understand. You know, things happen. People go on strike every day.
Been there, done that.
They're telling me that this shutdown of the government is costing the government something to the point of so many millions of dollars a day. I'm confused.
See, here's my problem, and I wrote this on a Facebook post this morning. When I get laid off, I got a waiting week, I go file for unemployment, and I start writing checks to Cobra, and in 26 weeks, if I ain't found a job, I'm out of luck.
I'm so confused.
My question is, what makes a government worker so much more better than me?
The same reason why they don't have the same Social Security pension as you. The same reason why Congress still gets a check. And I said, they ought to be down. We need to change the Constitution to where when they shut the government down, everybody a part of the government, no matter who they are, from the president all the way down, gets a dollar a day. Period. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tracy. I just want to put something to rest because it people got to start really paying attention, waking up, and using the not-so-common sense anymore. I keep on hearing this excuse from not only Senate but from, you know, people on this show yesterday that wouldn't stop screaming and I couldn't get a word in edgewise. And then I heard the marble mouth. I'm not mentioning any names. No names,
okay.
Please. And then I heard the marble mouth Barney Frank on a radio show this morning say the same thing, and Harry Reid said it. And it's, well, we elected the president again, And therefore, everybody agrees with Obamacare. If you didn't agree with Obamacare, why did you reelect the president? People, pay attention to numbers and what happened. If you look at the election, there were the fewest people. As a matter of fact, I think it, by percentage, there was the fewest percentage of people that voted in this country on that election alone. Conservatives stayed at home because they didn't like what Romney was talking about. Why? What was Romney so famous for when he was governor? Socialized health care. That's
absolutely
why people stayed home. And also Democrats showed up at a very small number, too, for the exact same reason when polled. So people in this country do not like the socialized health care system, and stop using the president being reelected as an excuse. It's stupid.
And not only that, you know, look at this. Okay. Say even and so I heard one of the congressmen or senators say this morning, okay, let's not repeal it, but let's make sure we take back all the waivers that have been given out to everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And that's off the table too.
Oh, he said there's no negotiation at all.
Right. And I just heard I was listening to a former congressman that was in office during the last one under Clinton, and Clinton and Gingrich were negotiating every day. They were talking every day, and this president refuses to talk to anybody.
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say let's correct that, because I just heard about an hour ago that the president called the leaders of the Senate and the House to the White House for a discussion.
But is it going to be like what I heard about this morning? Reid and Boehner colluding to write in the to get exemptions for all the congressional staff and everything? Yeah, Politico reported it.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they got the emails.
What email?
From Boehner's chief of staff to Reid saying, listen, we need to have a clandestine meeting with the White House and get this exemption for the congressional people, and nobody can know that I'm part of this. It's right here.
My question is, who... as long as, you know, that's, I'm being lost. You know, okay, woohoo. Jeez. So they can come to an agreement as long as they don't have to as long as they don't have to be a part of it.
David Crone, Harry Reid's chief of staff, and Mike Summers, Boehner's chief of staff, were exchanging emails. Crone requests that they come up with a different cover story than Obama for the healthcare meeting. People will know we are going down there. We can't let it out there that this is for speaker and leader to ask the president to carve us out the requirements of Obamacare. I am even okay if the president hauling us down there to talk about the next steps on immigration. That's a quote out of an email. So Alex is right. They're all the same.
We could have told you that. That wasn't the rocket science. My question is, when the government is shut down, my understanding is people are out of work that work for the government, and heck, the government is too big anyhow, so they probably need to be laid off in the first place. So my other question is, nothing's shut down but parks and national museums.
Why are we putting gates around open-air stuff?
I don't know.
To prove a point, to teach a lesson to the American people to shut up and sit down. That's why.
You know, I heard an interview with a park ranger out west, and he's been told to tell people, well, you know, you can drive through the park because it's a road, but you can't stop and take pictures. Now, come on, man.
Well, they got upset with the veterans that took a cross country trip to come see the veterans. It's an open place.
Let me ask a question, a very simplified, it's simplified, okay? And I'm going to make it very macro. If this is what doesn't make sense. If the reason that we are shutting down the government is because we haven't passed a budget, and according to that, we can't afford to keep government running. So if it's actually costing us more money to shut down the government, why do we shut it down?
But the question is, how does it cost us money to shut it down? I understand. You shouldn't be spending money if you're closed.
That's exactly my point. Right.
I mean, seriously, if I don't go if I close my store, why am I still spending money except for rent? And we own the building.
Yeah, my boss tells me that every time he walks into our office, it costs him $5,000 roughly to open up shop to do business. But you obviously make your profit over that. If he doesn't shut down, how much is he losing?
Well, the thing is the back pay and all this stuff. Like I said, if we have a government shutdown, these people should get a waiting week and go on unemployment like the rest of the people in the whole country. I'm sorry, if you're a public worker should have no different perks or benefits than the people that are paying their salaries.
But my question is, why is it that they get to go retro? When is the last time you got laid off of work and they paid you back for the money, the time you were off?
Never. The only thing that they used to have back in the old days was my dad had what they called subpay.
That came from a union, right?
Well, no, it was a negotiated company paid it, but it was part of the negotiated contract, and it was supplemental unemployment. So it was your unemployment from the state plus whatever the company had to kick in to give you 90% of your wages. But those days are gone, man. That went the way of the 13-week vacation.
And listen, I got to take a break in a few minutes, but I got to ask you guys something. Have you guys heard about the $98,000 outhouse?
If that's a picture of it, boy, did we get ripped off. I could build that building.
The Bureau of Land Management recently paid $98,670 for the purchase and installation of an outhouse in Swede Park Trailhead in Alaska. The purchase includes a single vault Romantic 101 Aspen single prefab waterless toilet and its installation at the park area of the trailhead. The same model you can buy on its website for $9,999. But my question is, why does it cost $10,000 to build an outhouse?
Well, it's a waterless. It probably burns the waste. I mean, there are some high dollar waste treatment plant kind of things. I mean,
what do you mean burns the waste?
Just what I said. It lights a fire and burns the waste.
It'll burn your tushy, too, if you sit back on it.
You don't burn the waste when your tushy's on it.
Why would they spend $100,000 on an outhouse?
Because it's the government. And you know what a third-party purchase is, don't you?
No.
Well, you got first-party purchases when you're buying something for yourself, and you're usually pretty careful. Second-party purchases when you're spending your money on something for somebody else. And depending upon how much you like them, that's how much careful you're going to spend your money. Then there's a third-party purchase where you're spending you're spending somebody else's money on something you're not going to get, and you really don't care what happens. And that's what's wrong with government. It's all third-party purchases. They're spending my money on stuff and on stuff for somebody else, and they don't care.
Listen, the local airbase workers are protesting outside of the airbase because of the shutdown.
They ought to be downtown at the courthouse signing up for unemployment.
They don't need unemployment.
Like the rest of us.
No, they don't have to do that.
Are they special?
Yes. They work for the government.
You know what the Mandarins were in China, don't you?
No.
That's what we built here. We built a Mandarin society. You've got the government workers and the elected officials are one class, and the rest of us are the peons, and we're supposed to serve them.
Well, why couldn't they make a porta potty out of wood?
Why couldn't they just dig a hole? When I was a kid, we went to the cabin. You had a hole in the ground with a roof over it.
Right.
I don't even need a hole in the ground half the time.
No, you got to have a hole in the ground.
You got to have a hole.
All right.
Hey, listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's government day. So if you want to bounce on the government, I mean, come on out here. Uh-oh, he's going to eat his fried pie.
It's still warm.
I know. I would never bring you a cold fried pie.
These are amazing.
I know.
Just a little ice cream.
I'm sorry, ice cream wasn't open today.
Oh, ice cream wasn't open today.
The Amish Marketplace opens up tomorrow. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. But if you want to get a good fried pie, come out tomorrow to the Amish Marketplace. Go see Martha and get a fried pie and a donut because it's amazing. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new. Professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. More than 1,800 cases are now on the Ohio Unsolved Homicides database. Youngstown sent information on two unsolved murders, and Niles and Girard didn't submit any. Sexual harassment allegations are made against one of the candidates running for Youngstown mayor, Demaine Kitchen. The accuser is a city employee. The woman says the allegations go back to 2011, when Kitchen was a councilman and then went on to become the mayor's chief of staff. Kitchen says the allegations are untrue and that the woman making them is an avid supporter of his opponent. Hundreds in the Mahoning Valley are impacted by the government shutdown. Computers are down at the Social Security Administration office in the city, and even though Social Security checks are still being delivered, some who came by to pick one up are leaving empty-handed. And no work means no pay for 400 furloughed employees at the Youngstown Warren Air Reserve Station. Only 50 fire and police personnel are on the job at the base right now. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now. now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229.
We're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And you listen to Obummer, O-B-U-M-M-E-R, by Christina Houston. You've heard this, haven't you?
No, I haven't heard this one. I've heard a lot of spoof songs on the president. But
this is the first one.
This one made me laugh. It definitely made me laugh.
It gave you a chuckle. Very good. Hey, Matt, have you heard that one?
That's a new one for me, Trace. You know I haven't, but now I did. So I feel happy now.
I feel happy now.
I only heard a part portion of it, though. You're going to have to play the whole thing eventually.
I will, before the day is out. I'll play the whole thing. Matt sent this over to me, and I said, hey, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
He said he tried to forward it, but it wouldn't forward.
Wouldn't forward normally?
Normally. So he had to send it through a text message, and then I had to go hunt for it.
Okay.
The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic. Today is hump day with Six and I. And, you know, we're talking about the government. Bash the government, because the government is just bashful.
Well, I'm happy about this whole shutdown thing.
They didn't shut nothing down. What happened?
Yes, they did.
What did they shut down?
They shut down. The head of the NSA is complaining he can't spy on Americans. The head of the IRS is complaining he can't audit Americans.
Are they all gone? Are they off from work?
Yeah.
The IRS is off?
IRS is off. NSA is off.
Well, that didn't keep them off for a while.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. EPA is closing down. Department of Education is closing down. I fail to see the problem here.
All of them shut down?
Everything.
But Alex was right.
Everything that Alex and I are for is closing down. We're happy. We can keep this going forever.
This is pretty good. I got
a list here of...
What's close?
What you can do during the shutdown.
What can you do?
You can receive and send mail.
Okay.
You can buy insurance through the health care.
Okay.
You will receive your Social Security and Medicare benefits and apply for new benefits.
Okay.
Get a passport or a visa, but only until the State Department's funding runs out. Conduct business with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Receive unemployment benefits and food stamps. Get a FHA or VA loan. Receive medical care at a veterans hospital. Use the federal court system. What you can't do, you can't stop paying taxes. The IRS will continue to process electronically submitted tax returns, but if you're getting audit, you'll get a temporary reprieve. Get taxpayer assistance from the IRS. Get a small business loan. Go to a national park, zoo, or museum. If you're already at a national park overnight, you have 2 days to leave. Get a paycheck if you're a federal employee unless you're the president. You're going to love this. Get a paycheck if you're a federal employee unless you're the president, member of Congress, or in the military.
How is it that they get a paycheck?
I don't know. I mean, it used to be the military didn't get a check, but Louis Gohmert fixed that. If they got that through, at least the president signed that.
So, Matt, why do they get a paycheck?
You know, I honestly, I don't think that they're even worried about their paycheck. I missed the first part of that because I was in the middle of something. Are you talking about our politicians or our government workers?
Our politicians get a paycheck.
Okay, yeah, they're not worried about the paycheck because why would you worry about such a measly paycheck when you have millions coming in from the lobbyists that come in, you know, and do you favors and line your pockets for you? So they're not worried about that. They might be worried sort of about their health care, and I think I brought this up yesterday when I said I saw Michelle Bachmann come in and double talk herself, which I didn't like at all. I don't think they're worried about the pay. They're worried about the power, and they're worried about looking powerless.
Well, guess what? They've been powerless for a while. Did they not know that?
Well, they're supposed to be powerless, but the fact is they're not. When you look at the way that they're completely sidestepping constitutional law. For example, the exemption law, that's a direct violation of the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. That's a cornerstone of our government. When you're allowed to sidestep that and it just go through, you have power because it's tyrannical power. It's not American power. It's tyrannical power.
Well, Matt, did you see this back alley deal, this backdoor deal with Boehner and Reid? Did you hear about that this morning?
You just made me aware of it. As far as the emails go, you just made me aware of that. So I'm going to have to search that a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I Tracy and I disagree on this. I think the Republican Party in its present form is over.
No.
I think they're going to go the way of the Whigs.
No.
Either the power structure. Either you're going to see people like John McCain, Lindsey Graham standing up on the steps of the Senate, the steps of the Capitol building saying, my party left me and these crazy Tea Party people are in charge now, and I'm going to be a Democrat, or you will have something replace the Republican Party.
I don't think so.
Because you got the crazy socialists running the Democrats, and there's they won't negotiate. It's going to be their way or the highway. You've got a crazy socialist in the White House, and it's going to be his way or the highway. So there has to be somebody in the middle or somebody to stand in the gap and stop these people. Because if they don't, Soviet Union, here we come.
I don't think it's that. No.
They're instituting a police state every day. Look at the NSA thing. I'm sorry. The answer is always maximum freedom. You don't want any more hijackers? Let everybody carry a gun on an airplane. You'll never have another hijacking, trust me. The answer is maximum freedom. It's not give up your freedom for a nanny state.
In the House, on the House floor Monday, Speaker Boehner urged his House colleagues to pass amendments to the bill that would keep the government funded and avert a shutdown. The amendments, he said, were necessary changes to Obamacare, including one that gets rid of an exemption for members of Congress and their staff. Get rid of the exemption for members of Congress, Boehner said, it's a matter of fairness for all Americans. But a new leaked email paints a different picture of how Boehner fought to maintain certain health care insurance subsidiaries for federal employees under the Affordable Health Care Act. So you mean to tell me they're trying to shut the government down for themselves?
Pretty much.
Matt, that's a problem.
Well, yeah. The whole thing is, I'd say it's confusing because we have polar opposites, but we don't in government. Like what Styx was just saying, as far as the Republican Party, let me explain it before you go, Matt, no, I kind of agree with that. And here's why. The Republican Party, except for a very few that are able to speak up and get some public approval for the conservative side, like the Tea Party, for instance, in this last go-around. The Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and the rest, tend to like to kowtow to the left quite a bit. if you look back in the history of Republicans that have switched to the Democrat Party, there's a lot more Republicans that have done that than Democrats switching to the Republican Party. And that's kind of upsetting if you're a conservative who want a true conservative voice in your party, because it seems like every time something comes up, the concessions from the right are 60-70% instead of going 50-50. It's unbelievable what the Republicans are allowing the left to do, and it's no surprise to me that we're in this position right now, with this latest funding of the government, because we've allowed it to come this far with no checks and no balances. We've just kowtowed to the left, and really the Republican Party is getting what they deserve, in my opinion, right now.
Well, the problem is Glenn Beck talks about the Overton window. And what that is you ask for 100 times what you want. So when you settle for half of it, you're actually getting what you want, and the other side thinks they won. And the progressive left has become masters of this. For abortion example, they'll ask for unrestricted abortion up to 8.9 months. And then they'll settle for, partial birth and abortion at 6 months, and you think you've won something because you got them to back down from crazy out of control.
But don't we think, I mean, the number is 347-945-5229. 409, your mic is on. Give me 1 minute. Don't you think that it's time for America to actually start hearing the truth from both sides? Because right now, nobody's getting the truth.
Well, we're not going to get the truth from either side.
You're going to have to go look for it. The truth is out there. Go ahead, 409.
Hey, Tracy, it's homeschool dad.
Hey, homeschool. Non-homeschool. Homeschool.
Yeah, the new public school dad. Which it's unbelievable in public school how much money you have to spend. I swear every day these kids have some new kind of fee or something we have to pay. Obvious through homeschool, we never had to do that. It's unbelievable how much money. I've only been in like a month or a half. Every other day it's some kind of fee or something or other that we're having to pay the school. It's like, my gosh, don't they get money from somewhere? Anyways, that's a side rant. I just think that people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Olympia Snowe and all these, basically they are Democrats. They just, for some reason, have an R next to their name. They know that the media is in the corner with the left. They always have been. And they don't want to be talked bad about. I know that seems strange. You would think that in politics you'd have to have a thick skin. But I was listening to another talk show that's later in the day, and I was amazed at how many Republican senators and congressmen were so worried when Ted Cruz was doing his thing about how it was going to look on them. They said, well, we don't want to make this about us. We don't want to make this about us. You know, sure, we want the truth to get out there, but, you know, in the government shutdown and the whole Obamacare thing, we don't want basically to be the bad guys. I mean, it just was amazing to me how many of them, once they finally spit out what they meant, were worried about looking bad in the eyes of the people. I mean, you know, if they truly were sent there to represent us, as far as conservatives or libertarians, however you see yourself, it was to hold a certain position, have a certain ideal and philosophy, and try to get that across. But they're so worried about looking bad that in the end, you know, they would rather just try to be talked well about on CNN or MSNBC or whatever it is, that they're willing to just, you know, basically, I think, be a Democrat in the end, be a liberal, if you will, just so they don't look bad. And just to me, that is so weak. You know, I don't know how these guys even stay in office with an R next to their name.
Can I add to what he's saying?
Please.
I totally agree. And if you, again, and this goes back to the interview with Marble Mouth Frank that I heard this morning, when he was being interviewed, he was asked the question, what do you think is going to happen with this shutdown? And he said, and it was very matter-of-factly, you know, he has years of experience in Congress. So, you know, very matter-of-factly and very quickly, he said, what's probably going to happen is the Republicans are going to wind up going to Boehner and saying, we need to pass a clean CR because I'm hearing it from, you know, the people at home, and I'm not going to be reelected. You're killing our reelection chance. So, yeah, I have to say, when a former congressman comes out and spits it out like it's, you know, it's always been that way, homeschool dad is absolutely correct.
I have a question. Why don't we just get them all out?
I mean, that's what we've been trying to do. We've been throwing these people out.
We're not throwing them out. We're not throwing out Republicans. And we're not throwing out, and when I say all, I'm talking about Democrats, too.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
but see, I don't see Tim Ryan going anywhere, do you?
I think we need to throw out incumbents. I mean, Ted Cruz got elected against the former lieutenant governor of the state of Texas. I mean, he got through the primary against him. So we can throw these incumbents out in the primary process and get them elected. And once we do that, then we need to hold their feet to the fire once they get there.
The problem is, if you look at the history of the Republican Party, and unfortunately it's a two-party system, you know, you have to kind of lean towards the people who are more like you. Unfortunately, it's the Republicans, you know, as far as the things that we believe. They think the more moderate, and I'm talking about the guys that have been there forever, the guys that are in power, you know, the elite that hold really, you know, they hold the cards. They believe that the more moderate you are, the more middle of the road you are, that the better chances that you have. Look at every election, whether it was Gerald Ford or Bob Dole or John Cain or Mitt Romney, the more middle of the road you are, the more disastrous it is for Republicans. But the people who are true conservatives that stand on their principles and truly, you know, mean what they say and say what they mean, those people win. But yet the people at the top who really kind of rule the Republican Party, they don't believe that. They think, oh, you're a bunch of extremists, or, you know, you guys are going to turn the moderates off, or you're going to turn the, you know, the middle of the road people off with all your extreme views and all that. But those are the people who actually win. I forget how many, 7 million registered Republicans stayed home and didn't vote because Mitt Romney was there, because he basically, you know, is quite liberal. Why don't they get that? They just continue to run the liberal Republicans, and they don't win.
When do we start making comments? I mean, look, guys, it ain't rocket science. I don't know if you guys heard me yesterday, and I guess I'll repeat it again because I wasn't in studio. I don't agree with Obamacare. There's a lot of things in there that need to be scrapped. But then there's a lot of things in there that could work. Why don't we just fix the problem? And it doesn't – I mean, it's common sense. It's not hard.
Well,
and
you
make
know,
everybody equal and equitable and give them access to health care. Quit playing games with America, talking about we're going to do and we're going to not do, and don't make it a socialized program, but make it a program that's accessible to everyone and affordable so that people can get to it. And quit playing games and quit making it to where businesses have to go out of business because of what? And where insurance companies are now inflating their costs and they're just abusing the American electorate, and we're sitting on the sidelines looking stupid.
I would agree to that, except for as far as Obamacare goes, I think the whole bill needs to be scrapped, and it needs to be started from scratch responsibly this time.
My contention is they will never agree with – see, congressmen, it's all about compromise. They will never, ever agree to scrap the whole bill. But that doesn't mean you can't cut the whole – all the guts out the bill and make it new. I mean, it's like you know, baking a pie. Sometimes the crust is good. You take the top layer off and you put it aside and you throw the filling out and then make a new filling and put the filling back in and put the top back on and put it back in the oven and let it bake.
Okay, can we agree on this then? Perhaps it might help if all of Congress reads the bill and agrees on what to take out so that they know what they're talking about this time.
No, dude. They can't read it.
Am I completely out
in
left field?
Yeah, you've gone too far. You shouldn't have. You know, we were going good about scrapping pieces of the bill, but you're not
but
talking about
it.
Trying. No, don't read it. Why read it?
Well,
I will bet you. I will bet you of the 456 people that are there.
What in
Congress,
House representatives
in the House between the House, Congress, and the administration, and Supreme Court,
something like that.
I will bet you only. Less than 5% have read it? The whole bill?
I would say the only people that's read the whole bill are the people that got on TV and said I read the whole bill.
No, they don't know that. No, they didn't. They lied.
No, I don't believe it.
No. A lot of them lied. They didn't read the whole bill. Their staffers read it and gave them the Cliff Note version. But they didn't read it.
Yeah, but Tracy, nobody wants to compromise because at the very end, the Republicans had gotten down to the point where they just wanted to delay Obamacare for a year. You know, forget the defunding and all that, but they had passed a bill that just said, let's delay it for a year because Obama has already delayed 50% of all the laws that are attached to it. He's already delayed half of all of them until 2015, until after the next election. Because
well, that's
when it really kicks in. When it really kicks in, you know, he knew the Democrats wouldn't get voted for, so he waited until after that. Well, he's already delayed half of it until 2015. They just were wanting to delay the rest of it. And they
He only delayed the half of the big businesses. He didn't delay anything.
Oh, no. There's been 1,100 separate exemptions of this bill.
Correct.
Basically, everybody but you and me has been exempted.
That's what I'm saying. All the exemptions have been for either unions, big business. They left the small business and they left the average people inside of it. And what they're saying is take all those waivers, rescind all the waivers, rescind all the exemptions, and just let it roll out the way it is. And they don't want to do that either.
Well, now, hold on. Let's be fair for a second. Not that it's fair because it's actually kind of bearing their whole side. But when all of this started going down a couple days ago, everybody that I heard that was a Democrat strategist or one of the senators or congressmen, they were saying that it wasn't what was in the bills that gave them issues. It was the way that the House was trying to put conditions on the proposal for the funding bill. They said it had nothing to do with what was in it. It was the way that they presented it. So really, there's two different problems going on. Which is the true story? Was it the way it was presented, or is it what was presented?
It was both. One, we need to go back to the beginning of this bill. We need to go back to the beginning of this. They did not do their job the same way they didn't do their job before they went into Iraq. They never do their job. And remember, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House at the time and not John Boehner. We've got to get that out front. Instead of them actually having committee and going through the process and tweaking the bill and listening to both sides so they could hear both sides and coalescing behind the bill, what they did is they did what they chose to do, and they rammed it down Congress's throat to make it pass instantaneously before it went up in flames.
Well, Tracy, you know that Congress never even voted on the very last bill that made it through, the one where they had the one – now, if you remember the time – there was a fight for votes. They didn't have all the votes. And then Obama, remember when he went to Kucinich and had him up in the airplane? And then he went to Ben Nelson from Nebraska. He went to all these kind of left-leaning Republicans and offered them all these goodies and finally got one vote that he needed to put him over the top, and they passed that bill. Well, that bill, because of some executive thing he did, it didn't even have to go back to Congress, which it should have had to, but he used his executive power with that one vote, which took weeks to get that one vote, and then when they went ahead and just pushed it through. Congress didn't even have a chance to vote on that last bill that made it, that actually made it law of the land. So, I mean, how legal is it really?
Well, not to mention after the Supreme Court struck down the mandate and said you could use it as a tax, you could pass it as a tax, and they didn't go back and vote on that either, which is unconstitutional. No taxation without representation.
Exactly.
Hold on, guys. 409? Did they hang up?
Yes.
Homeschool Dad, that's you.
Yeah.
There's somebody else chimed in, but then they left. I'm just saying they went about it wrong. They never brought it to both sides of the table. And when you don't bring things to both sides of the table, what makes you think that they're going to be able to play well? And so now, and let me say this about John McCain, and I'm so upset with him, I could spit.
Thought you liked him.
John McCain gets on the floor the other day and says, well, you know, elections have consequences. It's like he was just brainwashed by President Obama all of a sudden, and he throws the word that he threw at him and said, well, you know, elections have consequences. What does that mean?
Yeah, but see, this is from a man who the media absolutely adores. You know, they call him the Maverick because he fights with the Republicans. He pretty much has left-leaning, you know, beliefs about everything. So the media absolutely loves him. But as soon as he runs against Obama, they hate his guts. So if he doesn't realize, you know, that he's basically trying to play on an enemy's side that could care less about him, you know, I mean, you would think he would get it by now. He's been there long enough.
You would think so. But I'm just so confused. I am. I just don't get it. Why? And the American people are sitting on the sidelines, and they've got sympathy pains going on for the employees. And these guys are going to get their money back. It's going to be retroactive to the shutdown. The only thing they've shut down is nothing is shut down. If you want to shut something down, shut it down. If I can play on words.
Department. We're open today. Believe me.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the sequester, they're open today. You know, sequester, we got this debt ceiling coming up. They're gonna make sure that they don't hurt people on Wall Street with the sequester. They're just lying to everybody, and no one's calling them out on the lies that they're telling. Now you're telling me that they want to have a way to make sure that Congress is now exempt from Obamacare, and then I heard somebody else tell me the reason why that is because they have families and they don't want to get caught up in that. What kind of mess is that? And we're going to sit on the sidelines and just say nothing?
Well, last I checked, I had a family too.
Oh, your family doesn't care. They don't care about your family.
Well, I heard yesterday there were literally only a few people countrywide that were actually able to go on the website, the healthcare.gov, and actually sign up for policies. It was such a disaster. So many glitches with the computers. Only a few in the entire country were actually able to successfully go on. This is, you know, how the government runs things. That's how efficient they are and the quality of what they do.
Hey, homeschool, did you see the NBC, actually everybody, did you guys see the NBC anchor try to sign up for the Obamacare yesterday? Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
What happened with that? You got to explain that. I didn't see it.
So she did a piece where she goes to her computer to show how easy it is to sign up for Obamacare. She goes in, fills out the entire thing, hits send to confirm all of her personal information, and it goes to an error screen. So the error screen has a phone number they can call. So she calls, you know, the whole sign-up process took her about 8 to 10 minutes. She calls the number, sits on hold for 15 minutes. Somebody picks up the phone, puts her on hold again. They hang up on her. She has to call back. It was about almost an hour process, and she didn't get close to finishing her thing. It was wonderful.
So what did they have to say afterwards? See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they go on and they realize it's not as easy as it is. And instead of them saying, you know what, this has a problem, they're disingenuous even when you see it with your eyes and they can't get on. No one tells the truth here. If it's a flop, it's a flop. It is what it is. It's a bad pancake. Don't eat it.
We repeal bad laws in this country all the time. I don't understand what the big deal is about repealing this one.
It goes to, well, the repealing of it goes to the leadership, and he does not want to have egg in his face for putting together a bad bill because half of America is sucked into believing that it's affordable and it's not going to affect them.
It should be called the Unaffordable Care Act. I don't know anybody that's not actually on public assistance that's paying less. Everybody I know is paying more.
But people don't
way more.
But people in the middle, the average American worker, they feel it. They know it. They understand it. But you've got 47% of America out there who's dependent, who is not a part of this equation.
I learned something yesterday. Here's another thing that's in the bill that we had to read before we had to pass before we could read. If your employer offers you health care, irregardless of the cost, and you turn it down, you are not eligible to get any subsidies to go into the exchanges.
Huh?
So that means if your employer offers a health care plan and it takes 50% of your wages to make to pay the premium and the deductibles and everything, and you turn it down and you go to the exchanges, you don't get any subsidies, irregardless of what you earn.
That's amazing.
It's in there.
It's not in there.
It's in there. West Virginia has one health insurance company left. Everybody else left. How much competition is that going to breed?
Also, look at how much money you'll be paying if you're a married couple as opposed to somebody who's not married. Your health care under Obamacare is more expensive. That's one that's buried in there, too.
My goodness. My goodness, is it going to get better? I'm serious. I mean, you know, I was talking to a young lady earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, obstacles. And instead of people actually being able to stand up and really make a difference and being able to, you know, to become a part of this American system and quit being entitled. Let me take my break. Will we change and will we make it better? Because right now, this is some of the craziest things I've ever heard of in my life, and America's getting sucked into it. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hello?
Homeschool, are you... Okay, who's this?
Diva.
Oh, hey, Diva.
Hey, Diva. Diva, what day is it? What day is it?
Hump day.
Hump day.
Woohoo.
Okay. I just have homeschool dad, now public school dad. I feel you on them school fees. Oh my gosh. Every time I turn around, my daughter's in the eighth grade, so she's going to Washington D.C. in the next spring, hopefully. And that's $500. Selling candy, I have to pay $20 for each package of box of 100 candy bars. I have to pay $40 for art supplies. It's like every time I turn around, it's something. I'm like, I thought it was public school. The reason it was public school is it's free.
Steve, are you guys allowed to have raffles up there?
What?
Are you all allowed to have raffles up there?
Raffles for what, as far as what?
Like, you sell raffle tickets and people buy it and you give away a certain amount of money?
The booster clubs are allowed to, and we only have boosters for athletics.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a very, 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 very small district. We have four elementaries, one middle school, and one high school.
Yeah, that's a small difference.
We have three stoplights. We don't have our own police. We don't have our own water. It's crazy because we are incorporated into a township, but we get all of our utilities and we pay taxes to the county of Franklin.
Oh, okay.
So it's nice to raise family. It's very, very small. Like my daughter's been going in the school district since second grade, so she knows just about every kid there because she's in eighth grade now. Because they all go from one place to the other. I get you don't like the Affordable Health Care Act. I get you really don't like the mandate. I'm really not interested in arguing about it. I just want to know if you could fix it, how would you fix it? How would you like Congress to fix it?
You asking me or homeschool?
I'm asking whoever.
Oh, my thing would be this. I would open up. I would open up through the Interstate Commerce Commission and allow healthcare insurance companies to operate across state lines. That would be a big one right there. That would foster competition, and cause folks to be able to buy, and shop for a better deal. That would take a big chunk out of it.
So instead of the exchanges that we have now that are run interstate, you would like them to be interstate exchanges?
Yeah, I wouldn't want the healthcare bill at all. And that's what I would have tried instead of, putting out the Obamacare. I would have done it differently.
Would you have done differently? What would you want to? What type of healthcare system, insurance system would you want to see?
Well, I mean, I would want to see one that where people can buy healthcare and shop for it, be able to shop for it. Let the healthcare or the insurance companies compete for my business.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's what they're doing inside of each state. Each state sets up an exchange where you have any number amounts of health private insurance insurers who compete for business. If you worked, you only got the insurance your job provided you, and if you didn't work, you either had a choice of going without or you had Medicaid if you could qualify for it. Now these exchanges that are opening up in each state allows for different insurance companies to come in, and you can compete. They all have to have this provide the same services, but there's little extras that they might. They all have to provide the same basic services, but there are little caveats that one insurance can have over the other, and compete for your business. So it's not like you're signing up for one insurance. So I'm asking you, are you saying that we should just take that out of the state and make it across state lines?
No. What I'm saying is this. I wouldn't have an exchange. I would not have an exchange. Ford, now, right now you have to be licensed in that particular state before Obamacare goes into effect. You have to have a license to sell insurance in that particular state. However, some states, the federal law does not allow you to sell without, a tremendous fee to sell in one state and then sell in another state and so on and so forth. It's across state lines. So if I'm in South Carolina and there's an insurance company here that sells me a great rate, if I live in North Carolina, I can't buy from that insurance company that's in South Carolina.
Okay, so basically you're saying open up an insurance marketplace nationally, so that people can just go and just purchase whatever type of insurance they want, and it doesn't have state guidelines to it.
Well, not state guidelines, national guidelines. If you've got, say, for instance, Kaiser Permanente out in California, if they've got an excellent plan at an excellent price, and I saw it and I wanted to buy it, and they're $300 to $400 cheaper a month for me to buy it from Kaiser Permanente, why can't I do that, even if they are in California? And that's before the healthcare debate even came up, individuals were asking this, and we could do this, and that would actually drive the price of healthcare down because of the competition. It's the same thing, that they did, when companies have monopolies. Competition.
Okay.
The competition caused these folks to compete for the price. I mean,
So what you're saying is just tear down the walls and the barriers of the insurance companies and just let them operate as is. I'm trying to figure out, see how that will work, because then what would be the purpose of them staying in California when...
Well, they're not staying. They have their base. Each company, corporations, they have their base. Like, my company that I work for is based out of Atlanta, Georgia, But they would be able to sell insurance. Right now, you can't sell the way you need to sell it from state to state.
No, that's the thing. The exchanges now allow for different companies to come in. They have to sell at that state rate, and you in Texas still can't buy in California. But
That's what I'm saying, Diva. If you've got an exchange, and the exchange is saying you can only buy from this set of companies, it would be so easy for those companies to just go ahead and say, hey, we can set the price, and the lowest price that we're going to have is this, the highest price that we're going to have is this, and all of us can get in on a piece of cake. But if you got a company that comes in and says, hey, I want to get in, the rest of them can blackball that company or lobby for the state legislature or even the Congress, and they're locked out. But competition, the more competition you have selling insurance, the cheaper the price is going to be.
Okay, however many insurance companies into the program, and allow people to buy from the cheapest, no matter where they're based. Is that what you're saying?
No matter where they're based at. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good compromise. What else would you change about the bill?
I would. Number one, I would scrap the bill. I would scrap the whole bill. The one thing that burns me more than anything else is the fact that if I don't buy something that's mandated by the federal government, if I don't buy it, I get penalized for it.
Okay, so if you could reform the healthcare system we have in our country, how would you do it? What would you go about? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, let me interject here for a second. First of all, let's get rid of all the special interests. That's number one.
Exactly.
That's about 75% of the bill as it stands right now. Get rid of the special interests. Number two, you have to make sure it's constitutional. Constitutional means you have to get rid of things like these exemptions for Congress and for federal workers. So basically what they put forth in the House. There's so many things that you have to – the whole thing could be stripped by 75% to where you put it into a little pamphlet, and it should be good enough.
Okay, what special interest groups would you like to see get rid of? What special interest groups have an interest in this law that needs to go away besides – I know the unions.
Right.
Who else?
That's a big one. And some of the other corporations.
And
like,
would, quote,
like,
destroy the foundation of the 40-hour work week. That's pretty tough from a loyal Democratic constituency.
Well, we're working on the issue that relates to all of these multi-employer plans, which unions are one and some are charities.
Bargaining rights or otherwise, where it's, there's more than one employer involved in a contract.
More than one employer in a contract. And that has to be certainly clarified. There's just so much the president can do within the law, but there is some leeway to facilitate, as we are in the Congress, under the exchanges. So I'm optimistic because we will find a path. But overwhelmingly, for the American people, this is a liberation. This is life, healthy life, liberty, the freedom to pursue your happiness, which could be follow your passion for good rather than follow your policy, be constrained by your policy. It's about wellness, it's about prevention, it's about a healthier America.
It's not reducing the deficit, so.
At Farmers, we make you smarter about insurance because what you don't know can hurt.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number's 347-945-5229, and Dr. Hill just walked in. How you doing, Doc?
I'm well, thank you.
It's good to have you with us because, we're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act, and I need to know how it's going to affect the affordable health care of health from your perspective.
You want to answer from?
Not yet. Hold on. And what are you guys talking about in the chat room? And, Diva, are you holding court? Because yesterday you were just out of your mind.
Yes. And I have to apologize. I'm not going to make any excuses. I was just wrong. I was out of line, and I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I felt bad the whole day.
Tracy, you know what? While we were in break, Diva came on the line and started, I think, what is a great conversation, because instead of arguing about healthcare, we were talking about what can we do to improve it. I thought it was a really good conversation between her and South Carolina, and when you have some time, I think it should continue.
I want to continue. I want to ask Dr. Hill what he thinks about this, because since he's here, what are your comments on this? What do you think?
From what perspective?
From the doctor's perspective. Because you're a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
You have employees.
True.
How is it going to affect? How will this affect your business?
Honestly.
Yes.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
They haven't told you. Haven't they sent a paper out or something saying to the doctors this is how it's going to?
No.
Okay, hold on.
This isn't good.
Wait a minute, hold on.
This is not bad.
Wait a minute.
If the doc don't know what's going to happen, this is bad.
Wait a minute. So you are a practicing physician. We have Dr. Hill from Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. He is one of our doctors on staff.
Am I not a medical correspondent?
You're the med doc.
No, the medical correspondent.
The medical correspondent. You can put that on your
Tracy
resume.
Tracy and Friends, official medical correspondent.
The official. The question is, have they not called or sent a letter and saying, okay, the Affordable Health Care Act is going to go into act on the exchange is going to open October 1st with full blown in on January 1st. This is what you should expect. This is where you're going. I mean,
I've gotten letters.
What did the letter say? Okay, here we go. Okay, go ahead, Diva. How are we going to change this? I'm listening.
No, what I did, I got the letter. I read it, and I gave it to my billing people.
Rates go up? Rates go down?
Don't know. they said they'll get back to me.
Okay. So, Diva, how are we going to fix this? I want to hear this. Alabama, your mic's on.
Well, that's what I was asking South Carolina, because I understand that you guys don't like the bill. And my thing is, instead of tearing someone apart who says I don't like it, we need to start figuring out, okay, what is it that you don't like about it, and we can go from there and try to fix it. And South Carolina says that he wished that it was a true free marketplace where no matter where an insurer is based, that they can buy a person can buy insurance no matter where at the cheapest rate. So we put it in the hands of the insured to purchase their own health care wherever they want from.
Okay.
Because right now, Tracy, what's happening is, and before pre Obamacare, say for instance a Kaiser Permanente out in California, if they have a rock bottom rate that somebody in South Carolina wanted to purchase, right now as it stands, they can't purchase that policy, they can't purchase that coverage. If they were to eliminate those barriers and allow competition between the insurance companies instead of having just a three or four regional monopolies, then I think the whole healthcare coverage issue would be a moot point, because
South
would just continue to drive the price down.
It's a couple of points that, and I was just thinking about this today coming to work. So it's funny you guys had this conversation, but I guess I think Alex alluded to this yesterday. One of the things I would look at is a whole way we bring drugs in through the FDA. It shouldn't cost $12, $13 million to bring something through. Also, the whole student loan program, as far as what that did for education, is spike, and I have an analogy of it. Let's say the government came out with a $10,000 voucher for heating and air units on every house, right? If they come out with a voucher, I guarantee you the price of installing a heating and air unit will be $20,000 full loan, because everybody's going to go get a voucher. The price is no longer going to be $5,000. It's going to be $10,000. Everybody's going to charge $10,000 off the top because they know they can get the money. And so then it's going to perpetuate more, and then they start doing regulating, and it's going to go way up. And that's what we're looking at with healthcare. It used to be you could pay for healthcare out your pocket, like a heating and air unit you can buy. You can actually, you know, work something out with the people if you have to. You
can
probably buy your own unit.
You can
yeah, but you
that.
Can't do what?
Okay, so again,
pay for health care.
How pocket. Do you fix so, it? What do you
I
want
mean,
to see?
That takes
if
a doctor
not
to do that.
What do you want to see happen?
I think there were some good ideas that South Carolina had, and I think that I think that's what's going to happen. People are going to start working deals out directly with the physicians if healthcare just keeps going like it's going, because education is outrunning healthcare, but healthcare is skyrocketed. It's doubled in the last eight years.
Okay, but that's only one issue as far as the with dealing with the health insurance. There is a lot more that goes into just.
Well, I think the part about benefiting illegals for coming over here working and not having to pay if you hire an illegal, I would get rid of that loophole. That's one of them I would get rid of.
How does that help?
But they have
healthcare.
Because
they're
going to
come in. Go ahead.
Because right now they haven't dealt with the people who live here, without even dealing with the people that are immigrants here. They're not dealing with all
but
the
then
problems.
Also it's gonna raise unemployment because people aren't gonna. I'm not. If I own a business, it's about my bottom line. It's about how much money I'm bringing back. Number one, there's gonna be more unemployed people. And quite frankly, I think it's stupid. If you can't afford health care, I'm going to tax you. That's just stupid to me. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, if you can't afford something, I'm not going to tax. I'm going, oh, you can't afford it, so we're going to tax. We're going to take your refund.
Here's what's going on in Congress, and this is what I'm seeing, because Congress is reflective of the people because we vote them in. Here on this radio show, we can't even get a consensus other than South Carolina's point of how he would like to see health care, how it operate. We can't really, no one can really tell me how.
Hold on. Anybody's saying. Ain't nobody disagreeing with nothing. Nobody said everybody's had good ideas. Nobody's disagreeing.
But he's had
it's
any
not
ideas.
A, it's not a,
South Carolina.
Go ahead. Say what?
Pertaining to the actual health care system, dealing with the insurance agencies, because that's where we have to deal with right now. Right now we have Obamacare. I don't have a problem with it. You guys have a problem with it. So I'm trying to figure out you have a problem with it. What do you want to see in place instead? What type of health care system, what type of insurance system do you want to see in place? I can say, okay, South Carolina, that's a good point. That's something that Democrats can live with by opening up the market to where people can buy insurance no matter where they live and no matter where the company is based.
But Democrats don't want that, Diva. They passed that bill that he just described 8 times. Am I right, South Carolina? That's already been passed in the House. They refused to even look at it in the Senate.
Right.
So it's already – they don't want that. They don't want something. They're not trying to get an answer.
Okay.
Diva, the Republican stance on this has always been – free market. It's been open up insurance so you can buy from any company you want. It's allow you to buy whatever coverages you want. And it's been maximum freedom. And the Democrats have shot that down every time. I was perfectly happy with what we had prior to this. We had a health savings account, my wife and I, and we had a high deductible policy to cover emergencies. And I was perfectly happy with that. It was cheap. It cost us like $150 a month, and we put like $300 a month in our health savings account. We got to keep that money if we didn't use it. It was a perfect system. Now they're going to tax me on it.
Okay, here's the thing. I said I don't – I get what you guys are saying. I get what you're complaining about.
Hold on, Dean. Go ahead.
What you just described is perfect because you understand that that's how it works. You'd be surprised how many people come to my office and have a similar type of insurance plan, and we'll tell them, ma'am, your deductible hasn't been met. You know what the response is? What's the deductible? What do you mean? So, yeah, that works. That works as long as you understand that is what you have. But you'll have someone else that'll get that same plan, and they'll say, yeah, I have coverage, when in essence they do have coverage, but for what? They're asking for that coverage is not in effect yet because that deductible has not been met. And they'll say, what do you mean? My deductible hasn't been met. We'll say, well, ma'am, your plan states you have a $5,000 deductible, so until that's met, you're paying basically cash out of pocket.
So is that caused by a lack of education of the consumer or a lack of education by the supplier?
Probably a lack of education by the consumer.
I mean, because my wife, where she works, every year we or at least I don't know what's going to happen now, but up until this year, she would have a choice of 5 or 6 plans, and she'd sit down and do the math every year and figure out which one was the best for our situation. She knew what we spent in previous years, so we would always pick this the program that worked best for us. Now, she said a lot of the people, they just pick the one with the lowest deductibles and pay the premium. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, or they'll pick the one with the high deductible and it's a lesser premium, and they think, oh, well, I got a good insurance plan. So
right.
They go and they'll say, ma'am, your deductible hasn't been met.
Right.
Then they get upset
okay.
at you. Well, what do you mean my deductible hasn't been met?
Right. I can see where that would be. So basically we have an education problem when it comes to health care.
Heck yeah.
Health care insurance.
No, health care, period.
Yeah.
Health care insurance, but health care. People are underinformed in most things that have to do with health.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep you that way so they can control you that way. Even people who are on public assistance don't understand health. They don't have an education about who they are, what they're about, and what's accessible to them.
You know, I'll say I think they probably do more so than many. They do because they understand what they need to say to get what they want.
Ooh.
Because they know that I had someone, had a young lady come to me and need to get an ultrasound done. I said, we need to get an ultrasound, so here's a script. No, go schedule it. Okay. Well, it wasn't emergent, but she wanted it done now. So she leaves my office, goes to the emergency room, like she's in severe pain. So as a result, they get her that ultrasound, which she has no money to pay for it, but she still gets it because the ER doc knows that if he does not do that ultrasound, let's say for some reason there's a problem, there's a lawsuit there.
Yeah, my wife has brought up people where she works will go to the emergency room because there's a zero deductible on emergency room visits.
Yeah.
Rather than go see the doc because there's a $25 deductible at the doc.
But don't they realize that? See, this is...
No, but see, you're getting what you want when you want it.
And most people don't care. They weren't raised the way a lot of us was. See, my dad, when I was growing up, he understood that his medical insurance was part of his pay package. And if his medical insurance cost more, then he was going to get less on his paycheck. Because when they negotiated his contract, they'd say, well, your health insurance costs have gone up, so we can't put as much in your wages. And he understood that, and he imparted that in us, in his children, that, you know, we don't abuse this. It's a privilege we have. It's a benefit we have. But if we abuse it, the company will be spending more money on health care, and I'll get less in my paycheck because they can only pay me so much to start with.
Well,
that's the way my dad thought, and that's what we were taught as children.
What'd you say, Matt?
Another thing we have to look at, and I brought this up before, is why the cost of health care is so expensive. And every single time you can for the last 70, 80 years, you can go right back to government intervention in healthcare and see why it's so expensive, why our medications are so expensive, why these procedures are so expensive. It's always government getting involved with oversight, and yet we want to try to fix that problem by injecting a huge government program. It makes no sense.
Well, then, Matt, you also have to add into the fact that doctors, you got a lot of doctors graduating with, you know, six figures of debt going out there, and they're under pressure themselves financially. So, I mean, it's a catch-20. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's both ways.
But let me say this also. This is what I'm seeing, and maybe Doc Hill can correct me if I'm wrong. The way things are going right now, they're making it very, very difficult for doctors to be sole practitioners, just based upon, you know, they come out of school with debt. They may do their residency. They go through the rotation. They do all this. They come up with their practice. They get certified. But to go in to be a single sole practitioner is very, very difficult for them to go into business for themselves. It's almost easier for them to go into a contract with a hospital.
But you still have to pay the debt.
Yeah, but aren't the hospitals now paying some of the debts?
Well, depending on your scenario, depending on the part of the country that you're in, if you go to a country that, I forget what the term is, but a country that's a part of the country that's shortage in need,
mm-hmm.
then they will pay off your loans provided you stay in that locale for X amount of years.
Now let me ask you this, Doctor.
Now, what that means is, let's say you graduate from medical school with $250,000 in debt. Okay, after your residency, then a hospital employs you or sets you up in practice. It's an underserved area, so they will take care of your loans.
Right.
As long as you stay there for X amount of years. Now, what happens if you leave before that particular time period? You have to pay all that money back. If you leave in the middle of that time period, you have to pay all that money back. After you've been there, you still have to pay some. You still owe some of the money back. What happens is you have to pay taxes on that $250,000 loan. You have to pay taxes on that $250,000 loan over a 6-year period. You have to pay taxes on it. It's what happens.
So wait a minute, John. The number is 3469455.
I got this, Tracy. I'm doing the math in my head. So you're getting $250,000 worth of debt forgiven, but you owe the IRS $60,000.
Right, exactly. Over a 4-year period, what have you. Yeah, that's exactly.
Because they classify that as income.
$15,000 a year income tax on top of the income tax you have to pay for your practice.
Plus the loan, so the interest is always getting paid.
And you wonder why health care is so high. You wonder why.
I mean,
how do we
fix
it?
Very doable.
I would love to hear how Dr. Hill, if he could have an ideal situation graduating from medical school, all the hard work that he put in. When you graduated from medical school, what would you have liked to have done or seen so that we could get more people going into the medical field as doctors?
Say that again.
I will, as a doctor, okay, I think a lot of the issues that people are having is the shortage of medical personnel, doctors and nurses.
Wait a second. Who says there's a shortage?
Well, that's what
they say. There's a shortage.
They're saying.
They said that there won't be enough medical people to cover.
So because they say there's a shortage,
to cover all of America being insured.
I don't agree with that. That's what they're saying. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, since they dislike this bill so much and they're afraid of not all these people being covered, there won't be enough doctors. What can we do to fix the system instead of just complaining about it?
Oh, Tracy, just the point you just made, is they're saying it's a shortage because a lot of people are retiring once this bill passed. That's part of it, too. But go ahead.
Well, says who?
Well, a lot of people, I mean, your media, your professionals, they're saying that
they're... Obama's media said this. Go ahead.
They do not have the medical professionals to cover all America.
Are you seeing the senior middle-aged, I guess, guys in their late 50s, early 60s that could continue to practice for a while but don't really have to? Are you seeing those guys hang it up earlier than they normally would?
Well, I not know of people that have retired just because, like with anything else, when you're at towards the end of your career, do you want to be bothered with a bunch of new things?
Nope.
What the heck? If you have enough saved, what the heck? You go and retire. Yeah. Why be bothered? So will there be a shortage? Maybe yes, maybe no. What is the answer? Now, the big thing you hear is nurse practitioners. Now, I'm going to tell you a scary thing. This is true. Do you know how nurse practitioners, not all, but a portion of nurse practitioners, how they are being educated? Online.
Well, My question is, Doc.
Online.
My question is.
Well, think about that. You're going to see somebody who got their education online.
Never touched a body.
Well, now, I've actually heard.
There are several.
I walked in the office last week. I'm not going to say where it was. And I was talking to a nurse practitioner there. She asked, where did she go to school? She was a nurse practitioner student. And she said, well, I go to school online, so I'm here for my practical exposure. So I guess she'll do her practical exposure in that particular office, and then she'll take a test, and then she'll be able to see patients.
Well, my question is, when I was in the Navy, a hospital corpsman with a $50,000 education could put 5 stitches in my hand.
Yeah.
Why in the civilian world do I need a guy with $1 million education to put 5 stitches in my hand?
Well, putting 5 stitches in your hand might sound basic, but depending on where in your hand that cut is located, the anatomy, what nerves or vessels are in that particular area. So therefore, you want to avoid those nerves or vessels, or hence you may cause neurological damage. So yeah,
infection.
The act of stitching somebody up, okay, it is basic to a degree, but if you get it wrong, you know, you're screwed.
Well, you know what? What I find funny? There's a lot of that going on we don't hear about. There are a lot of mistakes made in how people die a lot of times from stuff like what he just described. A lot of times, well, maybe not stitches in the hand, but wrong, you know, they inject you with the wrong thing. Or a friend of mine, he was going to get some work done or something, and he was, I think he had something with his blood pressure, and his brain stopped, and he just died. He died because they left the room for a few minutes, something. They left the room, he died, and they finna get millions of dollars behind it. But this stuff happens all, you know, it's not advertised, but doctors make mistakes all whole. Just about every time I've been in the hospital with my dad, mistakes were made left and right all day, every day. Not that we need people perfect, but, man, I really personally, no offense, doc, I don't even like hospitals. I don't like doctors because I don't trust them. I just pray and hope I'm in good health, and I exercise, eat right, and if I do have some trauma, I'll go to the emergency room. But other than that, I try my best not to even have to see one of you guys. Because it's just so much stuff can happen, man, with these people. Once you get in there, germs, there ain't no telling what can happen.
Yeah, my grandma always used to say, I'm not going to the hospital. That place is full of sick people.
Hey, let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, because I think there are ways to fix this. I mean, yeah, people need to have access to affordable health care. I think they just it's bad legislation. They screwed it up along the way, and there's no common sense in it. And I don't see how you get 1,700 pages of nothing when
2,200.
They added some more, like, right the night before they passed it. Yeah, they add like 600 or something before they passed it real quick.
Yeah, it ended up 2,200 pages, and they've written 10,000 pages of regulations to implement the 2,200 mm-hmm. pages of law.
And nobody's read any of it. I'll be right back.
Thanks to Fair Shake Pricing, it's safe.
Also, one thing I find interesting about that whole thing, they put in gun control parts. I mean, stuff in there about gun control. This bill has nothing to do with health care. It has to do with rights, taking people's constitutional rights.
Okay, again, can we
here we go.
Complain about it. Can we?
I'm going to tell you something, Diva. Me and you disagree a lot, right? I bet you $20, because I ain't going to bet a lot of money. I bet you $20, me and you can sit down and come up with something way better than what they did. Guaranteed, that's the problem. But we won't get that chance. That's the problem, because this is not about fixing. It's about other stuff, control. It's about, you know what I'm saying, taking people. It is. That's what it's about. It's not.
I know, and I bet I could sit down with anybody. I can sit down with Sticks. I can sit down with Tracy. I probably could sit down with Jeff Green and come up with a solution, because that's just that's just who I am. If you are willing to compromise, if you have a conciliatory nature about you, then yes, a plan can come up. But again, I'm just tired of hearing people only complain. Okay, then let's tell people what we want to see. That's the one thing that I've never heard.
It's been done. I mean, you just heard some plans today. You just heard a lot of stuff just today with just this little time I've been on the phone, the last 30 minutes. I've heard South Carolina, Sticks. I think I brought out all this stuff we said. Just that one point of breaking away the state barriers and getting rid of the monopoly would fix 90% of the problems anyway. Because you got people up in, what is it, South Dakota, some company up there. They're real cheap. But we can't get to them unless we move up there. So I think that is probably going to fix most of it right there. And then there's a very, very small percentage of people, very small. even afford the cheapest brand of insurance, then we'll work something out for them. There's all types of ways we can do. The money we're spending on this, we could just about make free hospitals and let people come into those hospitals that are that can't afford stuff, then do what they're doing.
I don't agree with free hospitals for a simple fact. They go according to budget. And you get somebody in there who disagrees with that, and they will cut that budget. There goes. That's why we no longer have county hospitals. In Ohio, we used to have, in Youngstown, we used to have county-run hospitals. Here in Columbus, we used to have county-run hospitals.
So you mean to tell me you walked up in that hospital and you just completely free, everything was free?
No, I mean...
In the county hospital?
No, you could go in there, and if you didn't have the money, then you didn't have to pay. But if you did have the money...
This is the thing, Diva, I'd rather stuff be run, and this is the thing, I'm not trying to... I believe, I'm more a purist on certain things... I believe on a state level, a lot of these problems can be solved statewide. You got states like California that are about to get bailed out that did some real dumb stuff that we're all going to pay for. So, I mean, we're going to pay for it regardless.
I do believe in a national government. I do believe, but I believe in a mixed economy. I believe there are some things that the government can do.
You believe in socialism?
When it to helping the people because it's not for profit, and then there are things that the private industry can do. And if we have those, if we have a mixed economy, we have a balance.
Let me ask you the danger. What if someone gets in government that's selfish? What's going to happen?
We already have people in government that's selfish.
Okay, if they're selfish, what I'm saying is if they're selfish, they need a higher budget. Let's raise these. Let's go and go after the people, the private industry. Because you know what I'm saying? In order to do that, you have to have a government that almost operates like a robot that doesn't think, that's not greedy, not selfish. It's just going to operate the right way every time. They're not going to do that. People are people. They're going to get in there. They're going to see an opportunity. Hey, we can tax them on this. Then they're going to tax we can make a new bill. And that's why we are where we are now.
2009 and early 2010 is why that won't happen. That shows you it doesn't happen. Because even though the Democrats controlled the White House and both houses of Congress, there was a lot. We could have had universal health care, single-payer health care. We could have had illegal immigration and illegals coming over and not having to be...
Wait a minute. But they're saying that's what this is going to lead to.
We didn't.
But it's going to lead to that. They know that. This is the preamble but to that. They know that. There's going to be enough people unemployed. This is what's going to happen. They're going to run unemployment up so high, Democrats and Republicans. This is where I'm going to break free from that. They're going to run unemployment up so high with all these different people working 29 hours a week. People can't pay their bills. It's going to get so bad financially where they're going to have it like that. And when it gets like it's coming, single payer is coming. You're going to get what you want, Diva.
Here's the myth. Yeah, single payer is coming. Single payer is coming because we have this system because we can't get people to actually agree. I hear so many complaints of what's wrong with the bill. I don't hear any senator
Diva,
or Congress.
You sound like, but Diva, you heard 50 different things on this radio. So have anybody? But you're right now. Wait a minute. Wait. The Congress passed a bill. Congress, the House passed a bill that has a lot of this stuff we're saying in it, and they wouldn't even touch it in the Senate. So it's been done. There have been eight of them that were passed.
Alabama. What I'm hearing from the Hill is congressmen and women saying, my constituents don't like the bill, it's a bad bill, blah, blah, blah. Now, you can have an anchor person ask them, if you could change it, if you have the power to write an
what
amendment.
What difference does that do?
Could you do
when they did it. They passed the bill, Diva. The bill has been passed that you're talking about.
I want to hear what she's going to talk over people, and then I start to get loud. You have a congressperson on TV. The anchor asked them, you have the power to draft an amendment. You are the one who is there. You have the power to draft an amendment to get people on your side. What would you like to see done? They cannot tell you. All they say is we need to just scrap the whole thing. Okay, even if you could scrap the whole thing, how would you start? That is the only problem I have with this because I understand that people disagree ideologically. I get that.
Diva, hold on a second.
I don't expect
expect anybody to think like me or agree with me, but can we have a consensus on the things that we do like and the things that will work?
Well, Diva, you sitting up here holding on to that point about the consensus when these people have already, I'm telling you, they passed the bill eight times.
No, they did not. The consensus was,
the House passed the bill eight times, Diva. Look it up. The House passed the bill.
We didn't have public option. We didn't have single payer. We ended up in these insurance exchanges.
So you say the House didn't pass the bill that you're talking about?
We're not going to go for it. That was the consensus.
Diva, do you know that they passed the bill or not? Do you think they passed the bill? So you don't think they passed the bill at all?
Yes, they passed the bill. The House passed its version. The Senate passed its version. And then it ended up in conference. Because the House bill has some stuff, even some crazy stuff I didn't agree with, like the microchipping.
That was stupid. Look, I'm with you.
The Senate stripped the public option.
Look, they ought to pass. They ought to amend the Constitution. No bill should be over 10 pages. It should be written at a 6th grade level.
I'm with that.
Okay, so here we go back to how many pages.
If you got to do all that other stuff, make another bill. That's the way I look at it.
Here we are back to the type of pages it is. Are we going to actually debate the actual stuff that needs to be changed?
Look, the Congress can't understand it. Look, Nancy Pelosi can't read that bill and tell you what it means herself.
Understand it. We can't even have a civilized argument about, okay, what needs to be
changed. You're the only one with the high-toned voice that's piercing. I'm talking normal.
And I have been over last hour asking, okay, just answer a simple question in a simple matter.
Hold on, in South Carolina, has anybody answered her question? Is she not making the same point over and over? Am I crazy?
We got that point. What else?
Let them talk, Diva. Let them talk.
It's not going to settle the biggest debate. It's not going to settle everything.
Okay, Diva. Okay, let them talk. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Diva, you came on the air today with a good intent, and it was working for the first few minutes.
Till I got on here.
Once the points, once we started discussing it, then, so let's stick with what we're talking about. It's not blaming anybody. We're talking about, we're American citizens. This isn't about the politicians right now. This is what would we as American citizens do. Alabama said what he would do. South Carolina said what he would do. I said what we would do. And now you're screaming.
No, because I understood South Carolina's point. I'm in the midst of the complaints, and this is what's wrong. I didn't quite understand what Alabama.
Well, my point. Let me say my point in one sentence. I would reform. This is just one piece. I would reform so you don't have to spend $30 million to get a drug passed through the FDA, so that prescription drugs won't cost $400 and $500 prescription. I would fix that.
Okay.
There's too much legislation. That's one.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else have any thoughts?
You know what? Let me say this: there are ways to change things, but we need to be honest about this. Politicians don't win when America comes together and thinks with common sense. Remember, none of this has to happen. This is what you call political theater. And everybody tells you, you're Republican, you're Democrat, it's called political theater. Most of these things could be solved if they were willing to sit down and quit looking at the ramifications of their decisions and just make the right ones. And they create all these problems. I mean, just like the sequester. They shut down stuff, but everybody kept on flying and kept on moving. So the world was coming to an end, but the world didn't end. I mean, they said that everything is shut down. Okay, you can't go to the museum. They opened up the little place for the veterans to come because they didn't want everybody to feel bad when they could have done that anyhow. But what does a shutdown mean? You shut the lights out, you close the doors, and everything goes home and everything stops. But they have legislated their way in to make sure certain things happen and certain things don't happen. So is it really shut down? No. A couple things is closed, yes. But the political theater makes you feel as though that everything is gone, and it's not. Just like with people on furlough, these people are actually on snow days. And they're going to get paid for their snow days when they get done. Yet when you get laid off from work, and most of us have been over time, you go home and say, ooh, I ain't got no check coming in the next 2 weeks. And when the check comes, it's going to be a little slight. See, they lie to people. People think that people are going to be starving and in the street. They don't even have to go and have unemployment lines. See, when I get unemployment, they only give me $261 a week, no matter how much money you made. And we need to really look at what they're doing here. They make you, they put us into a frenzy. They think that they're shut down, and they ain't shut junk down.
And not only that, you start writing a check for COBRA for your health care.
They get
out of that $261 bucks.
Their health care is still rolling on the furlough.
Yep.
So they can go to the doctor, they can go to the hospital, they can do all. So that medical appointment that they were going to take a personal day next week, they can call the doctor and say, listen, I'm on furlough this week. Can I get in this week? So they don't have to lose their personal time. No, Diva, this is my issue. Yeah, we can fix it. The problem is they don't want it to be fixed.
Right.
But the thing is, they're on furlough. They're on furlough. Say this thing lasts past October, goes into November. They're not getting paid at this moment. They don't get all. They don't get the money until
October. I promise you. They're not working.
And there has not even been a deal or an amendment passed.
You ran roughshod over Jeff yesterday. You will not do it here today. I don't care how passionate you are because they're missing a paycheck. But most of them are making a whole lot more than minimum wage. As a matter of fact, most of them are making so much further than minimum wage, and I'm quite sure they're living in an area that when they go to their landlord next week and said, I'm on furlough, he says, I got your back.
Probably.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
Federal workers,
but I'm
like
pretty sure they're
grand.
Making a lot more than me and you, but that doesn't mean I can't care.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Diva?
Because we've got people right now who are being laid off who made $30,000 a year, and they're going down to $262 on state pension, and we're not going to furlough them or we're going to help them. They're not going to have medical benefits, and they're going to be hurt.
Diva, when I worked in steel mills, I feel like that shouldn't happen to them either.
Diva, you're not listening.
Why are federal workers any different than anybody else? When I got laid off from the steel mill, they said, have a nice day. Maybe or maybe not, you'll get to come back in 6 months or a year.
You are not
so
listening. We're not,
you,
Diva. Diva,
we didn't care about you. We
Diva,
didn't care
no.
about
Diva, yeah. This is not about people.
To be honest,
this is about policy. It makes no sense that your tax dollars go to an elitist group of people who work for the government, yet when you get laid off, they tell you to kiss their happy goodbye.
Because if you get laid off,
unemployment.
And when I can't afford to pay them, I have a right to lay them off. I am their employer. You are their employer. Tracy is their employer.
Listen, it makes no sense that they have a federal pension program.
You're right, they ought to get Social Security like the rest of us.
So Social Security is broke because not everybody's paying into it. But yet you've got over a couple million people who are on private pension programs based on your state dollars.
Right.
Hello.
There's a lot of retired teachers making $5,000-$7,000 a month pension.
692, your mic is on.
This shutdown rests solely on the Republicans' shoulders. The bill was passed. They did legal means. They challenged Obamacare to the Supreme Court. It was verified. And they still said, no, 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 we don't want it, and we don't like it. Then they put up a candidate in 2012 that ran on a platform to repeal Obamacare. The American people voted against that and said, we want that. We're electing Obama again. The American people and the Constitution and the Supreme Court have all told the Republicans this is going to happen, and they still whine and cry, and now they want to take their ball and shut the doors and shut everyone down and shut the government down just because 40 Tea Party members don't like Obamacare.
You are
and
so incorrect.
They're not listening to what the American people want. The American people want Obamacare. They've voted for it in elections. The Supreme Court has said it's constitutional. And they don't. And then they cry, no one listens to the American people and what the American people want. And 90% of Americans want gun control, and they can't pass that. Okay, but now Americans vote and they want Obamacare. Romney got defeated based on him trying to repeal it, and they don't want to listen, so they shut down.
Listen, this is the issue. Okay, hold on. If you want to say that, let's use your scenario that everybody wants it because the majority of America voted for President
Obama.
Not
everybody, the majority.
I said the majority. So let's go with your majority and let's go with your argument, okay? I'll let you do that, okay? So tell me this. Why is it that we keep on having waivers, extensions, and moving things around
on being...
Because it's compromising.
What?
Obama's trying to compromise because
the Republicans
keep crying.
Sweetheart, this is not the Republicans actually asking for the compromise. The Democrats are doing this on their own. President Obama has extended a lot of this until after the 2014 midterm.
Because he was trying to avoid a shutdown because the Republicans will
keep voting 40 times to defund it. That's not why it's being done.
40 times to defund it. They voted 40 times to defund it when they know that bill had no chance of passing.
Listen to what I asked you. I said, let me take your argument. If you want the bill to go into effect, then let it go as it stands. But when you've got unions and you've got major companies who now have waivers that they don't have to participate in Obamacare, do you really think that's fair?
It's shameful that the Republicans are holding the budget hostage and the American people hostage because they can't get their way over the last 3 years with this bill. That's what they're doing.
You really believe the hype on the news that this is all about Obamacare?
Yes, he does. Yep. Yeah, he does.
Absolutely.
Man, you need to start drinking coffee instead of Kool-Aid.
Congress are
lying to us when they say that this argument is about Obamacare because that's what they're saying. Ted Cruz said it for 22 hours.
He said that, why don't we just rescind all of the amendments to Obamacare and let it roll out the way it is?
All the exemptions.
Oh, that is not what they said. That is not what they're saying.
That was the latest compromise.
That's not the only thing that they did. Not only did they do that, they added the Keystone Pipeline, and they want waivers for companies like Hobby Lobby to not have to provide contraceptives to their employers.
Okay, hold on. But the last word that came through was to take out all the exemptions, which means all waivers go. All extensions go. So if that be the case, why not just let the bill stand on its own feet and run its own course?
I got this letter from Jimmy Hoffa here to Reid and Pelosi. It says, the first paragraph is, when you and the president sought our support for the Affordable Health Care Act, you pledged that if we liked the health care plans we have now, we could keep them. Sadly, that promise is under threat. Right now, unless you and the Obama administration enact an equitable fix, the ACA will shatter not only our hard-earned health benefits, but destroy the foundation of the 40-hour work week that is the backbone of the middle class. That's the first paragraph of a letter from James Hoffa, Jr. to Reid and Pelosi.
831, your mic is on.
True.
Hi, Tracy. I have a question. This may have came up because my phone's been cutting in and out, and I've been listening. And I got to apologize. Today is Wednesday, and I thought it was yesterday. All day I thought it was Open Mic Wednesday. So I get two Wednesdays this week because I'm so old and forgetful. But the thing I wanted to bring up is I heard that if you do not have health care and you don't have something chosen, you're going to be fined $95. Now, I haven't seen that in black and white. I've just heard that through rumors. But I'm saying that the cost of the increase of health care for a married couple, my husband and myself, went up $76 a month, and our deductible went from $2,000 to $4,000. The thing about it is it took place October 1st. So now, in the middle of the year, we have to meet our deductible again. Hopefully, neither one of us will become sick or ill between October 2nd and December 31st. And the new year comes, we start back up to the $4,000 again. It doesn't matter if we've met our deductible or not. We start all over again as of October 1st. And I'm saying, why don't everybody just pay the $95 fine?
Because it goes up every year. But let me say this, because I've got to take a break in just a second, and I want to get this in. I want everyone to understand that the caller that called in and said that people won, you know, when we voted for President Obama, people, you know, we voted for health care. No, that's not what happened. That's really not – just because you won the election doesn't mean I stand for the bill. And Romney, even though he was voting on repealing health care, he didn't lose because of it. He lost because of innuendo and because of scare tactics.
And the same people that reelected the president also put a majority in the House of Representatives.
And that's just something for us to really be honest about. You know, and I don't agree with all Republicans, nor do I agree with Democrats right now, because I think it's a sham. I think it's a three-card Molly.
I do, too. I think that it's actually, I've called before and said it's like a soap opera. You know, it's like, let's tune in. Because the common sense factor has been totally thrown out. I mean, there's no common sense at all left. None.
Bunny, have you thought of looking on the exchange and see if you can find a cheaper insurance plan? It's probably
okay.
The same provider.
Okay, Diva. That's okay. And that doesn't. But why should I have to when I already had one and
okay.
I already
and I was happy
had
with
a deductible
it.
And I had premiums that I could afford? And I
okay,
premiums
but say that Obamacare never happened. Obamacare never happened, and your insurance company decided they was going to raise their rates and do all this, and you had an option to look for a different insurance company. Would you do it then?
See, but
insurance company made a situation for me that I had to go look, but it would be my personal choice. The problem and the thing that I'm not hearing today, other than from Sticks and Tracy in a roundabout way, and Matt when I'm hearing them, is that I had no choice in this. And when you take away our choices, you take away our freedoms. And that's what's concerning me. Now, someone will say that I'm some kind of crazy, you know, tea partier, you know, whatever. There was a very bright, intelligent woman yesterday on the line who called in to Jeff. I think it might have been even a relative of his who was a woman of faith and said, I'm going to register probably as an independent. From my day one phone conversation, and I had to vote at the last election, and I had a choice to vote Democratic or Republican because there was no other choice there. I've always been an independent voter.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Here's the thing about choice. Choice that isn't meaning I have a choice between something I like and I don't like. Choice is essentially saying I have options. There may not be anything there that you like, but you still have an option. The exchange plan, if you never had Obamacare and your insurance did what they did to that to you now, you would go out and find cheaper insurance. The law of the ACA, by law, did not force your insurance carrier to do what they did. Your insurance company did it. One, I think they did it because they want to kick everybody into the exchanges. I believe they have a subsidiary that's going to benefit from the exchanges. So that's where they want to put you, okay? But you still have a choice and you still have options. You don't like the bill. I get that. You think it's detrimental to the nation or to the country. I get that. But there is a plan in place to still give you options. Prior to the ACA, there was no such thing. Your rates went up, your premiums went up, your insurance kicked you off. You had no other recourse. People were left
in the
dark. Nothing to
do. No. There was a time, Diva, in my lifetime here on this planet, in America, I was a woman without health care, and I had an issue. And I went to my physician, and I always paid cash for my visit. Now, my visit went on a sliding scale fee. And I remember paying $17, and depending on what my yearly income, maybe my office visit was $37. Right now, with health care, I have to meet my copay, and my visits, my first initial visits, if I went to my clinic, would be over $75.
If you would have had to have surgery with no health care, you find yourself needing to have a life-saving procedure.
Absolutely.
Okay, that
and
life,
my father
that,
did.
Okay,
my father,
and
that happened
did it
to
with
my
no
father.
Insurance?
He had insurance because he was involved in a union. He went to the Cleveland Clinic and had open-heart surgery, but there was a percentage due to his health care that he had to pay himself out of pocket.
Okay, but
We took his income, we took his annual income, and we applied for the program that was out there, offered by up until, maybe currently it's changed, but up until this point, this was offered to patients to it was called different things. There's one at St. Elizabeth's, and there's a couple other, and I don't know them all. But we would apply at the Cleveland Clinic, and then we took his pay, you know, his annual income, and we divided it. And they sometimes would write most of it off because, Diva, with insurance companies, and I was a medical biller for a time with insurance companies, there are people who have no insurance and there's people who have insurance. Believe it or not, you can have the same illness I do, the same diagnosis, on the same day. But if one of us have insurance and the other one pays it out of our pocket, there's a different cost. And the insurance companies have been doing this for years. Years.
Okay. Yes, that I know. But the fact remains is that you're saying that your insurance has changed, that your insurance company has raised rates. Your rates could have been raised regardless whether we have the Affordable Care Act or not. The fact that they did it on October 1st says to me that they're making a statement against this law. But my main point is now you have now you don't have to take that. Now people whose insurance get raised for whatever, they don't have to take it. You have options. There is a marketplace of other private insurance companies, good private insurance companies that are willing to take your money and you can get insurance. Now,
Diva,
you
can
get
you talk
sick
on the phone? Can you talk on the phone and Google at the same time? Can you do that and look something up right now?
Sure.
Could you do that? Because I don't have a computer. Okay? If you would do a search right now and kind of quickly get the premium of a woman who's over 50, what a single woman would pay in a premium, say, I don't know, you pick the insurance company. You pick whichever one you want. And you see if there is any kind of flexibility in that premium for the same, you know, we're talking about the same woman at the same age at three different insurance companies. Do you think they'd be the same or they would be different?
As far as on exchanges or outside
the
exchanges?
No, just a premium that we have to pay, you know, write a check out every month and pay for our health care. We get our policy back, you know, like our car
I know what a premium is, Bonnie. What I'm saying is, what exactly are you asking me to look up? One, I can't get into the exchange marketplace because the website.
No, I'm not talking about the exchange. Oh. I'm talking about, you know, right now, October, you know, we're in October 2nd. We have this window of opportunity to go and get in any kind of insurance we want, whether we like what our employer is offering us. Am I correct that we both mean what the same thing?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get online or I go to my library or I search, you know, for a bunch of insurance companies. And you can name them. I mean, Blue Cross Blue Shield. I mean, I don't know, Anthem, you know, whatever we want to offer. For a 50-year-old woman, would her premiums be the same for each one of those insurance companies?
Outside the exchanges, no. Inside the exchanges, pretty much. There's not the way the law is set up, there's not a discrepancy in age. They cannot charge you premiums based on age. As far as
so what was
different
the
insurance
benefit?
Companies, if each
what's
insurance company, if you can offer insurance to a 50-year-old woman, those premiums for each insurance company has to be the same. They can't change them. Now, for me at 33, it'll be different for someone at 65.
Absolutely.
Not amongst
right.
the different insurance companies. They all have to play by the same rules. Outside of the exchanges, I believe that they can do that.
Well, you know, I think if you've searched it, I think that there's a niche or a little tiny thing in this that we're leaving out of this conversation. And what some people may or may not understand or know that on income tax returns, and possibly last year, and maybe the sound of our voice will get someone to verify this, okay? On your income tax return, at the very bottom of last year's income tax return, there's a little comment that says, you know, the Affordable Care Act it being put in place in 2014, and it will give you a list of the insurance companies that you could apply for insurance for. And there are some folks who don't earn a lot of money, and in that line, it says Ohio Medicaid. They have one insurance company, Diva, that they can apply for.
Okay.
And see, I don't
Medicaid
know, understand.
Medicaid is offered to people who can't, people who don't work, or people who have a job but they meet the poverty guidelines.
And you know, Diva, if you do the math, you take $785 or $795 times 40, and our employers are not going to give people 40-hour weeks anymore, or could. You know, we don't know. We don't know yet, okay? And neither do they, those of us who are working 40-hour weeks. We don't know. So we take that, and you take 40, and let's just say it's $8 an hour, and you take 40 hours a week. That's $320. The government hasn't taken their, you know, our Social Security, Medicaid, withholding tax out of there, our state and local, or our school taxes out of there. So let's just say, for fun's sake, let's just say it's $20. And you and I both know that that is a much bigger amount because, you know, they take much more than that. But just for even figures, let's make it $300 a week times four. That makes us $1,200 a month. Now, you could probably Google real quick and find out in Ohio, in any county across this state, you could find out very quickly what the poverty guidelines are for a family in Ohio. And I can guarantee you, and I don't have a computer in front of me, I can guarantee you that $1,200 a month is poverty in America.
Depends on how many dependents you have, because $1,200 a month for me with one child, I don't meet those guidelines. That's when I was working. I was making a lot more than that, and because
well,
I only had one
saying,
child, in those
I'm saying
guidelines.
Minimum wage. I'm saying at minimum wage, and we're even going to do it at $8 just so we have even numbers to do it quickly in our heads. Makes it, and we know that the government's going to take more than $20 out of that $320 that we're going to earn. If we earn $320,
really.
We're not taking home $320. Now, on top of that, out of that $320, we take out an insurance premium.
At $8 an hour, at 40 weeks, you're only
40
you're
hours.
Gross,
40 hours.
Yeah,
is 40 hours a week.
You're grossing $320
mm-hmm.
a week.
Right. Now,
with
now
the dependent, with no, because you have to account for your dependents. Your
mm-hmm.
claimants, because
right.
one person, I can claim two. That lowers my federal tax rate. I can claim,
right.
If I had, my sister has three kids. So for four, there's four people in her household. She claims four people. That takes down her federal tax rate, her state
would all
tax
of the taxes
rate,
be more
her
than
local
$20?
I'm sorry?
With all the taxes that you have to take out a week, wouldn't it be more than $20? Heaven
no,
chance.
when I was working part time, and I was making $8 an hour working part time. That's 20. I was working 24 hours a week. The most they took out in taxes was $15 a week.
You didn't have a school tax or a city tax
no.
to pay. You
no,
didn't
I
have
don't
Medicaid
have,
or Medicare
have
to pay.
I had to pay Medicare and I had to pay Medicaid, but it wasn't that much. The most that I had to pay out of pocket was for my union and for my insurance premium. My taxes were lower than my union dues and my insurance premium.
So you're saying that your withholdings, total withholdings of all the things lumped together, was less than $20?
No, that was my federal. I would say everything
together.
Was no more than maybe $75.
Okay, that's an even, let's round it up to 100 if you had to add health care in there. So now a family's bringing home $220. If you take that times 4 weeks out of the month, I'm sorry, and you total that up and you take it times 12, you are definitely in the poverty line in the state of Ohio.
Well, yeah, that's when I was
let
working
me say
part
this.
Time.
So, Diva, let me say this. The number's 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, the number's 330-781-9600. Mark Mangi is in studio. He stopped in today because he's going to be here tomorrow. And we're going to have open mic on tomorrow.
I'm going to be here tomorrow, but only till 1:30.
That's okay. I'll fight with you then.
Okay. You bring, and I expect the smorgasbord.
And you want one too. Please, old man.
I came here to do my hour.
Can I switch my day to Thursday?
Hey, you gotta. Hey, listen. If those of you who want to know what's going on here, I bring in food from the Amish marketplace from the Amish marketplace over on South Avenue in the old Pacatans, and they do great work. So if you want to know what they're raving about, it's the food. It's not because I cooked.
We got a doctor here today.
Yeah, we got Doc Hill. He is our medical correspondent. Oh, he's been there for years. He's associate of Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. That's Dr. Rodney Hill. He's with us, fixes with me. But I want to say this, Diva. We America right now is thriving on making people, getting people, or having people become indigent. You may not agree with this, but they give you just enough to let you survive, but not enough to make you thrive. The government, whether it be Republican or Democrat, they want to make you to where you are dependent on the government from birth until death. At one time, you could save your money, you could build things, you could become innovative, you could start your own business, and you could become independent of the system. The last thing that your slave owner wants is for you to become independent of him.
Tracy and I have a mutual friend that his grandfather worked for a dollar a week and saved enough money to buy his first farm with cash.
You can't do that. And they've made it to where you can't. Your dollar does not stretch far enough, no matter how much money you make. Even when people go into the get older, they make it to where you are going to pay every dime out that you have so that when you die, you owe. It's never so that you pass down your money to the next generation.
And if you do have some left, they take it
and
in,
how is
they take it in
the
inheritance tax.
Government's problem or fault?
Pardon me?
Diva,
it's because you have to understand it is a system, and the system is called government. Diva, you are giving everything over. When you look at you right now, they make it to where when you die, or when you get older in age, you go into a nursing facility that charges you somewhere anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a month for medical care, depending on where you live. And they dial down because, remember, families can't, and most people do not have long-term, because long-term, by the time you think about death term or long-term, you're so old it costs you more than what you can afford to give.
And if you're injured during your lifespan, you have a major injury, then you still can't, you don't qualify to purchase it, even if you have the money.
Even the government couldn't afford the long-term.
Yeah, correct.
Because they had that as part of Obamacare, and
they threw it out.
It didn't work.
And you have to, and this is a problem. So that when you go inside of a skilled nursing facility, you're paying so much that by the time you die, at paying $5,000, $10,000 a month, how much do you think you have left? People's homes are being sold.
Oh, is that is that nursing home that's setting their prices?
No, Diva. You got to understand that the regulations that go into skilled care, that go into what's going on, is all systematic. And what we're saying is, people are going to have to become independent of the government.
Diva, when you have a nurse in a facility making $50,000 a year, she's costing that facility $100,000.
And then you have
nursing who works
on top of that.
Nursing who works making $10-$12 an hour.
There are very few nurses making $10-$12 an hour.
No RN.
No.
You can't roll out RN that has prescription licenses for $10, $12, $15 an hour. Am I wrong, Doc Hill?
And if you're a BSRN, or what is that, an RN with a bachelor's degree, you're talking 100 grand a year.
And you got to pay it. Hey, 518, you got a lot of air blowing. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening. I don't know. I don't know if I hear Diva and understanding her concerns for what you guys are saying clearly. Diva, it sounds like you think that everybody's a millionaire. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know. I know. That's not what I'm saying. If she would quit muting me, then she would let me be able to get my point out. I didn't want to even talk about nurses.
You quit talking on top of people.
I was talking about an average person. You said that everybody's a slave to the government. If I'm working and I'm making $10 to $12 an hour and I'm not on a system and I'm not utilizing the government system, but yet I have to stress about whether or not my boss is going to lay me off. When I go to the grocery store and buy groceries, I'm not looking at what the government and the prices the government set. I'm looking at the prices that that business owner has set. Wherever I go, I'm looking at the prices that they set. When I go to the gas pump, I'm looking at the prices that they're setting. I'm trying to figure out how you guys are saying that everybody is dependent on the government, how people get so dependent on the government. It's not meant for you to become dependent on. Yes, some people do, like any drug.
I can answer that question.
Hold on. Go ahead, Rick.
And Tracy, I my ignorance is probably going to come out here, so this is just a question. But Diva, who regulates how prices get set?
My guess is the private industry.
No.
I know the government regulates how certain things, like when you manufacture.
Diva.
Okay.
It doesn't make regulations. I'm saying specifically who regulates, not because it takes legislation, it takes an executive branch and a judicial branch to follow out legislation. So private industry does not make legislation.
So are you saying because the private industry has to be regulated for safety and concern of its consumers that's the problem? That's why we have high prices.
Yes. They call it safety and concern, but realistically, look at what's happening. Now, they're telling you they want you to buy health care because we're concerned about your well-being. But the reality of what's happening in today's time is people are becoming sicker and sicker the more we know. They're dying faster than what – to die today is almost the epidemic. It's not getting sick. We expect you to get sick. We want you to die. You're not worth anything to them. But while you're not worth anything to them and you still have breath in your life, we're going to take everything that you have.
It's not about whether or not I'm worth anything to them. It's about the fact that I see myself as worth. And if I get sick and I just don't happen to have insurance, I don't want to die.
And yet you don't make any regulations. I'm sure you think you're valuable. I know. Everybody does. But you don't make any regulations.
But, Diva, you have to understand, even if you're making $10 or $12 an hour, if you get earned income credit, you're receiving a government benefit. You're paying into Social Security. They're taking that money from you so you can't save for your own retirement and get a higher return than what the government's going to give to you. They've created a system where everybody is beholden to the government because they take your money before you ever get it.
If there was no need for it, this
is the issue. Right now, it is almost impossible for you to save money. And I'm talking about the average, person who's making $15 to $25 an hour.
Not to include the fact that the banks are going to start charging you more fees, so that if you do save some money, they're charging you over the head to keep it in the bank.
How about the private industry start doing what is right? So there won't be a need.
Every time the private industry starts trying to do something when it's right, the government comes in and regulates it on top of that.
Why not raise minimum wage?
Minimum wage only drives up the cost of the goods and services that the minimum wage actually produces. So every time minimum wage goes,
we have to have food stamps. So these people who are making minimum wage,
no, Diva, you don't listen. The issue is not minimum wage. Right now, every time you increase minimum wage up 50 cents, your cheeseburger goes up $1.
Okay, I get that. I completely hear you. But what I'm saying is, since we can't raise minimum wages because I don't want my cheeseburger to go up to 50 cents or $1, what can we do on the other hand when these people
people need to go and get an education and find an occupation that's going to pay and then come
so
to
who's
work.
Who's
going to
flip
what'd you say?
So you get your cheeseburger?
No, listen, right now I need young people who are teenagers to flip burgers.
Who's going to do it while they're in school?
You're not listening.
Who's going to do it while they're in school?
That's why you have college students that are flipping them when they're in
school.
Young people need to be able to flip burgers. People that are in college need to be able to flip burgers. But we are
but
creating.
A,
you don't, shut up, Diva.
Have you ever ran a
Diva,
fast food restaurant? Have you ever managed
we
a fast food restaurant? You don't know what you're
Diva,
talking about.
Diva, we are creating a permanent underclass.
I get what you're saying about that, but if you've never managed a fast food restaurant, you clearly have no idea what you're talking about when you're saying let's get all the high school students and the college students
Diva,
to put those.
Diva, sweetheart,
scheduling is very
Diva, a person who is a foreman, there are classification, there are levels of people that are working. We understand that, and you can actually pay more when you get a working class, but right now we are working on a permanent underclass. And a permanent underclass who that cannot maintain for themselves depends on the government for subsidies. And as long as we can continue to create people who are depending on the government for subsidies, taxpayers are always going to be paying, and they're paying what they cannot afford. And regulations keep on going up. And I'm serious. This is a problem.
You change the mindset of the private industry so that people won't be in need.
Oh, Diva, shut. Go ahead, Mark. Somebody say something.
Well, the thing is, the biggest recipient of a benefit from an increase in minimum wage is a middle-class white teenager, because that's the bulk of minimum wage workers in this country are middle-income white teenagers to early 20-year-olds.
No, but actually, the problem is we have too many people who are undereducated that are going after programs and going after jobs that will not feed their family.
Well, part of the problem with government intervention in this stuff.
Hold on, Rick.
Part of the problem with government intervention in this stuff is that the actual price of the goods and services are not allowed to develop because there's too much intervention. The social safety net started out as just that. It was supposed to be a safety net back in the back in the Depression when there was an expansion. It has since become that's not a safety net anymore. It's become a way of life. So, when the government is subsidizing the by providing these kinds of benefits, the people that go in and work for McDonald's or Burger King, because they can get away with it. If the government would pull out of this stuff, at least to a great degree, then you're going to have the cost of the goods match the cost of production, and it's not happening right now. Everything's all out of kilter,
and it is. And the regulations are killing people. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, in an ideal world, what you guys are talking about, unfortunately, we haven't lived in an ideal world since. Well, we've never lived in an ideal world. What the problem, I think, is happening is, Tracy, you said something, and I don't want to disagree with what you said. I think there is a place for it. But I'm not convinced that the time that there was a man that was able to save money on that dollar a week income, I'm not convinced that his education got him what he was able to do with that dollar a week income. And that's, I think, one of the dilemmas that we've created for ourselves in today's economy.
But Rick, when I say education, I'm not talking about a four-year degree. But you have to understand, there are men out there who can't read, but they can fix a car.
Well, okay, now let's be
clear
about what we said, because
people out
hear you say education.
I'm not talking about formal education. I'm just talking about having a skill. I mean, right now, if you can plumb my plumbs in the house, I really don't care what degree you have, as long as you fix my drain and fix my commode.
That's right.
If you can work on my refrigerator, I don't really mind. The problem that we have right now is people are coming out as dumb as a yardstick, and they can't even put gas in the car, let alone learn how to drive it down the street.
But, Tracy, let's be fair. Now, we see the need so high today. Think about it like this. There's a need. You just said a people that can fix a car but can't read. There's a need for so many people's cars, I'm one of them, to be fixed correctly that when I do come into this position that I know how to fix a car, this is where I think Diva is talking about the private industry. It's not just the private industry. It's called greed, Diva. It's greed from the individual. I know how to do something that you know how to do, and I'm going to charge you over the roof to get it done. So realistically, either one, I don't get it done, two, I don't get it done correctly, or three, you just hit me over the head for something, and I'm lost without two weeks of income.
Most of that doesn't happen.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, crap.
Go ahead.
It happens, Chase.
Hold on.
No, no, go ahead.
519.
I think what we need to do is better define what the problem is. And what I perceive the problem as being is people did not hear what was said originally. People need insurance, health insurance. What did you hear when they said that?
People need access.
Everybody needs health insurance.
People need access to affordable health insurance.
The majority of people that don't have health insurance, why don't they have it?
A lot of times it's because they can't afford it.
Or they don't go and get it.
Why are they regulated? That's what I want to know. Why are they regulated?
I would say the biggest problem prior to Obamacare was that just plain lack of education.
No, couldn't afford it.
No, didn't know what to shop for.
No, couldn't afford it.
No, you say couldn't afford it, but I say didn't know what to shop for.
Can't afford it.
Because you could go to a bank, anybody could go to a bank and start a health savings account and get a high deductible catastrophic care policy for a couple of hundred a month.
But again, couldn't afford it.
Tracy,
by the time you became cognizant and well-rounded enough to say, I need insurance, usually something either came up or happened.
But here's what's going to happen.
This is exactly the reason
before this Obamacare came around, there were 6 to 10 million Americans that qualified for Medicaid and didn't sign up for it. They tried to get them to sign up for it. They wouldn't sign up for it. So when you're dealing with a mentality like that, you've got a problem. Now we've got a problem with people who are uninsured. And listen, I'm all for insuring people. I'm a catastrophic insurance policy guy. I'm for everybody self-insuring under $10,000. But that's the way to bring prices down. But if the way this is set up right now is that as long as the penalty for not having insurance is less than the cost of the insurance, nobody's going to buy the insurance. Now, my prediction is you're going to have more uninsured people by the time this is done than you do now.
But see, this is my problem with Sticks. You said, well, you can just go ahead and have a medical savings account. When you are in your 30s and you're healthy, and you go to get insurance and they charge you $140, maybe $200 a month, and you may or may not have consistent work, because between your 30s and your 40s, not everything is always consistent. So when it lapses, you're a little bit older.
But,
let me finish, Diva. When it lapses because you went either unemployed, got laid off, got fired, whatever, then you now become, you know, I've got to pay the higher premium. I'm no longer paying $134. When I turn 30, I'm in childbearing years. They're looking for that pregnancy person coming in. Well, I don't have kids, but too bad. You might get pregnant. It all costs more. Women were more expensive than men. All these things were happening. Then when you're healthy, you don't catch colds, you pay for your insurance, you don't think about insurance, you don't go to the doctor, you don't go to the hospital. And so now something happens like MS. So I go back and say, listen, I need to get insurance. And they tell me you're uninsurable. And those people who will insure you, you're going to pay $800 a month.
But that's why we talk about starting young, educating people so they start young.
But did you
because
hear what I
that
said?
Policy,
but even at 20, when you lose your job, and you
if
remember,
you're a single person at 20 years old, what's a catastrophic care policy cost for a 20-year-old?
Did you hear what I said?
Catastrophic care policy, my son had it, right now is running for a $5,000 deductible. It's $130 a month.
And when I said to you, when you go from having a job and you go down to $216 or $260 a week on unemployment because you've been laid off, where in the world and what gets cut when you've not been sick?
So never cut health insurance.
You cut out.
Cut groceries first.
You can't cut groceries.
That's what we did, Trace.
Six. You can do that. Everybody can't. Just
yeah,
because
you've
got a different mindset. But everybody can't cut that, and people get thrown under the bus.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. No, it's not can't. It's won't.
You can't because when you have a difference between your health insurance and your home, where do you cut it? You say, well, I'm healthy and I'm going to keep my health insurance, but I'll sleep in my car? That's
pretty much.
But that's not how it works, and that's not how America thinks. You might think that way, but most Americans don't.
So we're talking choices here. We're not talking can't. We're talking
can't.
We're talking choice.
No, you can't, because after 26 weeks, if you're still not working, what do you cut? So you don't demonize people for what they cut and their priority measures. You do what you have to do to make your life. No, you do what you have to do. You do what you have to do based upon you cannot have little kids looking in your face talking about I'm hungry and you're still paying for medical plans when your children are covered under the government.
But by the same token, you can't be mad at the car insurance company when you call them and said I just ran over somebody. I need insurance.
We're not talking about the car insurance company. We're talking about my health versus my children's health and their livelihood. You're missing it.
I must be.
I am no longer an arbitration in this conversation. My children are, but not me. My children will never go hungry trying to take care of my medical care. That's not going to happen for any mom in this world. If she
can't
wait for herself.
Excuse me,
Tracy.
That actually happened to me.
Pardon me, what did you say, Bonnie?
Exactly what you just described was my exact situation that I was talking to Diva on the break about. That exact same thing happened to me. The risk of these children, I did not have health care. And yet, you know, the only health care affordable for me, because I did not adopt these children, I had to go to public assistance or welfare. Now, let me tell you, that's a degrading
And welfare doesn't let you have affordable. The welfare will not allow you to have a health savings account.
And they will ask you, how much is your car worth? And how much money do you have in the bank? And do you have a life insurance policy? Now, let's go back to what you said, Tracy. That is exactly where my situation was. But I told Diva at that time, my annual income, I could do a self-pay. Sometimes my doctor's visits was $37. Sometimes it was less, depending on what I had earned that year. But when you went there, you did a sliding scale fee. If you had a catastrophe, you did the same thing.
I'll see you on Friday.
What's the cost was.
Come on Friday. Go ahead, Bonnie. How much ribs? You got it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
And that's what you paid. Now, what we're doing now, if we don't have health care, and if I'm understanding it right, we're going to be charged $95. But $95 is a whole lot less than the $76 per month that currently my husband and I are paying in an increase with a higher deductible. And we're not alone. I mean, everybody in his shop is in the same situation. Everybody
I want to pull up, Alex, your mic is on. We need to understand everybody's situation is different. But yeah, you get dad is working and mom is home. But when the deal goes down, and we're looking at so many people that are single in America, you're asking them to make choices that they can't rationalize at 25 years old.
Even if you can't work that way.
Go ahead, Alex.
And I just wanted to say real quick that I don't know if it's just Florida or not, but you can't get catastrophic insurance anymore. I mean, I did that for years, especially when I went out on my own. I would have insurance policies for my two kids, and but myself and my wife and I, we'd have catastrophic insurance. But I don't know if it was with Obamacare or whatever, but. We just got the
Obamacare outlawed it. They're not allowed to. If you had it when Obamacare went into effect, that's grandfathered in. New catastrophic policies are out. You're not allowed to have it anymore.
This was over a year ago. I got a notice from my insurance company saying that they were no longer offering it to me, and so I had to get either buy another one of their plans or just be completely dropped. So I'm just saying that it's just. It may just be my state in Florida. I don't know because the insurance laws tend to be different state to state.
It's all over.
But
catastrophic
insurance
all over.
Probably, Alex, what the insurance company did was instead of having different policies in a two-tiered system, they just dropped it because it was no longer available to write a new coverage that way.
And but you know, like, yeah. So how much? So did they give you a refund for all the years that you paid into it, Alex?
That's like term life, Tracy. You never get that money back.
No, seriously. I mean, seriously. Did they pay? Did they send you a check for all the money that you put in there that you didn't use?
No, they didn't. And I'm going to say that, it's a business. But the thing is that there were periods where my wife and I went without insurance, because when you go out on your own, some months can be very tough. But there was no way I was going to let my kids not be insured. And so that's what I did. I mean, even though we didn't have insurance, or at least I didn't sometimes, you know, I made sure my kids had insurance, no matter how tough things were. But now it's even tougher now, because I can't even get a catastrophic insurance, and we have to, we're paying more now. And once the law was passed, like it was for sure passed, then our rates, our premiums went up after Obamacare was a sure thing. And so we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do.
I mean, you got to understand the game of this. Life is different. Life is different. And so when we look at access to affordable health care that doesn't have a lot of loopholes, all they had to do was open up the competitive market of insurances across the state.
And they had to make people understand, too, you don't need an insurance policy. You don't buy a car insurance policy that pays for oil changes.
But you do if you need it. Some people need to do that because their oil changes are different than others. Let me pick and choose what you wanted.
I agree.
But the problem is they would not regulate the insurance companies here.
See, you're blaming – I don't blame the insurance companies. I blame the legislators for creating all these mandates.
They wouldn't allow the insurance companies to be regulated. The insurance companies needed to have to where it was affordable.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain. It wasn't affordable.
But
they don't regulate any other industry as far as prices go.
Yes,
what
they
can charge and what they can't charge.
Yes,
you haven't
do.
Seen the dairy industry.
They regulate
industry,
farmers and oilmen
yes,
all
do.
The time.
Yeah, you ain't never milked no cow.
And well, the
yes,
grocery store,
Diva, they regulate everything. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Your banking system,
yeah.
Everything. Local call, your mic is on.
Yes, this is 5. They're going to steal from Obamacare. That's another pot for them to steal from. That's all it's about. All the time, we're borrowing money from China to regulate our, to fund the whole government. And everybody thinks that they're going to get something out of Obamacare. It's positively ridiculous. Our debt is so big, that's over $750,000 for every man, woman, and child to bail us out of this mess that our politicians and the Federal Reserve Board put us in. And that's fact. And we're going to go down
Tracy.
The tube. It won't matter about Obamacare or anything else. And old Obama, by executive order, this will interest Jeff, by executive order, just stopped the importing back of our M1 Grand rifles that was used in World War II. So that's what our government's doing to us. And this man in the White House, he's against our guns. He's against everything that is American. And he should be impeached. And I've called ICE's office to go down the line and get him impeached for Fast and Furious, Benghazi. He's got a Muslim Brotherhood member.
Hey, hold on, Mr. Dover. Don't go too far. I don't have much time. I got to pick up another call. Somebody just called my name. Who was it?
519.
519, go ahead.
I still have never got to make my point. What everybody's
All right,
go ahead. Going right past is this Obamacare was nothing more than an election ploy. When they said we're going to provide insurance, what Romney talked about, the 47% who didn't have a lot of insurance, said, boy, I'm going to get insurance now. And they did not, that is not what Obamacare is going to be about.
What's it going to be about?
Use the terminology, we're going to provide insurance to those who can't get it. And everybody thinks it's me because I don't have the money to afford it. And those people are already on here talking about it. If you look at supply and demand, when the supply goes up, the demand goes up, the money goes up. When you put more money in, more people into a system, it's not going to get paid for it. The people who are going to have the insurance are going to pay for it. They're not going to get free insurance.
The union backed Obama because of them bailing out GM. But now the unions are saying, you're cutting our jobs out because they want to cut back everybody to 30 hours a week so we don't have to pay company insurance on it.
Trace.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
My now new concern is, if I've heard everyone state their own individual cases, and I guess right about now, I would hope that our pride is not in the way of being honest about what we've experienced as adults, and the financial responsibility that it takes to have a family. If I've heard different ones correctly, you have stated your cases for not being able to afford insurance, period, due to life situations. So you've done your best to try to have it for your kids, if you could, for your wife, if you could. Maybe you made enough for yourself, but it wasn't consistent. So now I have to not to defend Obamacare. I'm not trying to defend Obamacare, but I want to be realistic about government, period. Because before Obamacare was, government still was. Before Obamacare is, government still was. And we've had an issue with being able to afford, period. Period. It sounds like throughout history, the later we get in life, the earlier we get in life, we could afford buying a house on an income of $3.50 an hour. Somehow, some way, they afforded buying a house, buying a car, and filling their groceries, their refrigerators up. Okay, somehow, some way, they found a way to do that on $3.50 an hour earlier. Nowadays, $3.50 an hour, you might get convicted for being one of the people that makes kids work for free. My point is, if you couldn't afford it before Obamacare, why are we fussing about Obamacare?
But the issue is,
because they're afraid of bringing one world order and more government. That's all.
Diva, look at
government. I don't think Obamacare is the key crux for Obamacare.
Hey, Jeff, your mic is on.
Focus on government.
But this is the issue. Government is going to control everything about you. And Obamacare, hold on. No. Because if it's going to be good for all, it ought to be good for all. But what's happening right now is now they're exempting some and not exempting all. So either make the cookie fit for everybody or don't let the cookie fit at all. But right now you just can't pick and choose.
It's an issue because they're depending on you.
No.
We didn't have it. We didn't have it before Obamacare. There are a whole lot of people that didn't have insurance 10 years before Obamacare. Now all of a sudden I want to cry. I couldn't afford it. You couldn't afford it 10 years ago. What are you fixing
about? Wait. My issue is, then take out the exemptions. Let the bill stand on its own 2 feet and let it run. But
exactly are the exemptions?
Oh, you got waivers for a certain company?
There have been 1,100 waivers written for special interest groups by the president, by executive order.
But don't these companies already cry
too loud, too late?
Employees?
No, Diva, no.
No, not for companies that already employ or already give health care. No.
Those big businesses.
Diva, go and read the exemptions and then come back tomorrow.
I read
the
exemptions.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm asking you because what I read was different than what you're saying.
See, this
is the thing. Liberals cannot understand what's written on a page nor what comes into their ears. They don't understand that we're telling you it's going to be destructive, first of all, to the people that already have health care, because it already has been destructive to them. They say, no, it doesn't have anything. That's a lie. It's a freaking lie. My health care was totally affected by this stupid behind law. If you wanted to have done something, you should have made a pool of just the people that didn't have it, which is 62 million people, which means you could put a nice little, a quarter of our population, 62 million people, is that a quarter of what we have in America? I don't know for sure. But the thing is you could put them in their own pool and then required all of them to be in it. But see, now you screwed with business. Business has to provide all these extra fundings now. All these what you're paying already is going up by over every aspect of your life. This is what these idiots don't understand. I'm sorry to call them idiots. Forgive me. That's what these people don't understand.
Is it me or are we losing him?
No, you guys are muting me and unmuting me. You don't understand. You can't afford this. Where are you going to get this money from? You've given all these exemptions. These people don't want to have nothing to do with it. Neither do I.
Listen, Tracy, I agree that they have not made this the most best decision for the American public. I agree with that. But if my parents couldn't afford health care when I was coming up, I'm a little guy. My parents didn't have insurance for us. Whose fault was that? Was it their fault or was it the government's fault?
Rick, listen.
I'm being honest.
Listen, what it is we need to make people have accessibility to health and to preventative care and to be healthy. I don't have a problem with that. But making people indigent and making people and taking more money out of a system and out of a person's monthly paycheck that they don't have is just not right, it's not fair, and it's not good. I don't think we understand that.
Well, how do you provide them with
health care?
Well,
because right now you make it affordable. Right now, and again, I go back to my state. They are making Americans indigent. They're making everybody to be dependent upon a government system, and I don't think that's wise.
Tracy. They're already that way.
They're not that way quite yet.
The real issue, Tracy,
they are.
What this all boils down to is they've destroyed the currency. Because Alex said this the other day, and he's absolutely right. If the currency was stable, with all the technology we have today, the average American would be working 8 hours a week and they'd make enough money in 8 hours to feed their family.
And we're not allowing that to happen.
And now we have
two people in the family and they still can't make ends
meet.
Right,
because if you look at what those two people are making in real dollars compared to what they were making in 1900, it's about half or less.
Is that about right?
But guess what those two people are working? They're working minimum
wage jobs.
What I said.
A minimum wage job can't support you. I don't care how many people eat, how many people work.
You're missing what I said, Rick.
We're talking about currency.
What they've done is they've taken the value of your labor, and they've cut the value of your labor by 75% of what your labor was valued at in 1900.
Tomorrow, Mark, tomorrow we'll be back here. Can we talk about currency tomorrow?
We sure can. I'd love to talk about currency.
Because people need to know the difference between money and currency.
Right.
Please.
Can I jump back in here?
Go ahead, Mr. Dover.
Okay. It lets the big corporations off the hook for medical insurance. And then on top of that, we're losing jobs completely. So who's going to have any money? Since we're all losing jobs. And like I said before, this man in the White House needs to be tried as a traitor for putting the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of the Homeland Security. And the Muslim brother that he has, he gave him a IRS tax exemption, and his name is Malik. And then the SSP agreement that Obama signed with Canada and Mexico that he could bring in Mexican and Canadian troops in on us now in a civil uprising. So we're headed down a bad path. And like I said before, we can't continue to borrow money from China and pay our bills.
But Mr. Dover, I want to stay on health. I don't want to go to President Obama.
Okay.
I want to stay on this because currency drives everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're welcome. And when you look at currency and when you look at what people are making today, it really doesn't equate to making anything.
Russians have two words for this. I always find it interesting because I did a lot of studying on Russian currency, which is kind of interesting. They have two words. One is denge, which was back when the communists were in power. That meant money. And then there was valutna, and valutna was something that had real value, and they were used. You know, people wanted valutna; they didn't want denge.
They want currency.
They wanted something that was worth something, and back then it was the American dollar. And so
why was it the American dollar?
Because the million, the American dollar at one time had a value.
Had a value.
Right, it was backed by gold.
Because it used to be backed by gold. That's why. I was just saying, it used to be backed by gold.
Exactly.
Right now
it's not backed by gold anymore. Whose dollar in the world is backed by gold anymore?
The Russian dollar is going to be backed by gold, there's no doubt. And that's what you're going to, that's what you're dealing with right now. Russia is now evolving quicker than anybody else. But you, but understand this: the this government used to be of for and by the people. Now the government is owning the people, because you have $750,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country owed out. You are owned. There is no way around that. And for the foolish people that continue on with this, we need this and we got to have this, it's all right, that they have been set afire with a foolish notion by these people that want to destroy what the United States was. That's where you're at with this Obamacare. That's where you're at with this whole situation. It's not people want to hate people and not want to surprise somebody. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you cannot afford this. And you have to do it differently.
Hey, is China's dollar backed by gold?
No, it's not. No. China controls the value. China has a semi-floating currency. One of the things Obama has actually done, which is a good thing, is he's allowed the he has forced the Chinese to allow their currency to float a little bit more than it did. And the result is that imported goods in the United States are going up. The cost is going up from China. And so now it's becoming a little bit more feasible to make the goods in the United States than it was 10 years ago, where the Chinese completely controlled the value of their currency. They kept it pegged to the dollar. It would never change. So no matter what the dollar did, up or down, the Chinese currency was always, I think, 20% less than the value of the dollar on the open market, which is, not a good thing.
Well, the yuan wasn't traded in national currency markets anyways.
No. Is it traded now?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you can go to Monex and buy yuan.
No, I don't think you can either. I don't think you can either. So it's artificially controlled. The government sets the value on it.
And right now, our dollar is not buying anything anywhere, and it's losing in value. And as long as we keep printing money and we don't start taking care of what we have, we're going to lose, because we're losing value every day.
Where's the gold at, Tracy? That's all I want to know. Where's the gold? Does anybody know what happened to our Fort Knox? What happened to our Federal Reserve?
No. Rick. The gold is there. Your money's just not backed by the gold that you have.
See,
okay,
the thing
so
is,
where is the gold going?
That's why there's no gold on the street.
They're printing $85 billion a month. So if your dollar was pegged to gold, gold would be about $1 million an ounce right now. Every dollar that they printed with gold, it would drive the price of gold to $1 million an ounce.
And that's the assumption that we don't have enough gold to support the dollars, right?
No. We don't. We have too many dollars to support the gold storage we have.
Exactly.
Because that's what you have to understand. In a perfect environment, there is zero inflation. In fact, it's called benign deflation, because as production and efficiency gets better, the price of goods and services goes down. Just like with the computer, they used to say twice the power, half the money every 18 months. And that's the way it worked in the Western world from 1789 to about 1913. We got more efficient. We had machines that made product cheaper and faster than human hands. So even though your wages didn't go up, your dollar or your wage would buy more every year than it did the preceding year, which is better for the people in the middle.
I have a question. What happened to the economy when Andrew Jackson...
Hold on. Go ahead, Diva.
I have a question. When then-President Andrew Jackson said that the federal government will no longer accept paper money, will only accept gold, what happened to the economy then?
Right.
I don't know. Andrew Jackson was the last president to have a zero national debt. He paid
the
national debt
off.
Yeah,
but what happened to the economy during that time when he enacted that policy?
Diva, in the history of this country, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, this country had a depression
every 12 years.
But they only lasted 10 to 18 months. What happens in a depression is you're not listening. What happens when you have a depression with a stable currency is you end up with bubbles. People invest, people get exuberant about a certain thing, and they overinvest in it, and it collapses. It happened with railroads. It happened with shipping. And people started overinvesting in things, and when there was too much supply for the demand, that industry collapsed, and it throws everything into a reset.
But I'm asking about what happened when Andrew Jackson switched over, saying the federal government will no longer accept paper money. They were only going to gold. What happened to that economy?
Nothing.
You can make an excuse, justification all you want all around it, but there was a four-year recession that happened after
that. Done. No, say goodbye, Diva. Say goodbye.
This is what gets me.
Jeff, I got to wait until tomorrow. I only got 90 seconds.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hey, we're at the end of the day, guys. We'll see you on tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day. Alex, call back in tomorrow because we're going to talk about currency tomorrow. Because if you want to know what's wrong with the Obamacare, it goes back into currency. It goes back to money. And all of it is going to go out of your pocket because people don't realize just because you don't pay for it, it's not free. We'll be back and we'll see you. Love you. God bless you and have a good day.
I want some gold.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.